Here we are, Podtacular 220, Halo 2, Farewell, Campaign Tales, March 24th, 2010.
Welcome back to Podtacular. I am Dust Storm, and Greg is not here tonight. Don't know where he is, actually. I've called him twice. Still haven't been able to get a hold of him. But alas, we are back from 2 weeks, I believe, 2-3 weeks of absence. Brenton?
I think it's two.
Two?
Well, I don't think it's been three. I think it's 2 weeks.
Before spring break.
Yeah.
Yes, but we're back. Hopefully, to not be too long. And like always, we have Brent, which you've already heard.
Yep, you already heard from me.
And we have guest from the Running Riot podcast, Keet.
Hey, everybody. All right.
Welcome to the show.
I'm honored to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
We haven't had a guest in a little while, so it's nice to see a new face, at least for me.
Well, I don't get to be on that many shows. I'm very... I'm definitely, I interview people, but to be interviewed or at least to be on as a guest, I'm a little out of sorts.
I'm sure you do fine. Just think what your guests would think of.
I'm just kidding you, but I'm completely relaxed.
Okay, fair enough. So for those of us who haven't heard of the Running Riot podcast, tell us a little bit about that and what you guys are all about over there.
The Running Riot podcast. We do live interviews. We do it over live stream. We do it once a month. We try to get guests on that are... very active and prominent in the Halo community. We do the interview live. We have it, it's a video format with an interview format. It's really the best. I usually have a tough time explaining it. I just actually, anybody, people wants to know what's the Running Riot is, I say go to therunningriot.com.
Fair enough.
But
there you go.
It's a live show. We do it over live stream, just like as Podtacular, you guys do that, your live stream thing too. But
once we get it working.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk about the pre-show.
But it's our live show, and I have a host. I'm the host, and I have a co-host, Insane Freak Boy. And
very cool.
There you go.
Very nice. Any special guests that you've had recently?
Last guest, we had a show last week. Commander Tony, the admin from Halopedia, the wiki.
Ah, yes.
The best, the best current gaming wiki for Halo. But
I'd say so.
Yeah, I think it's probably the only one. I really don't know any other, really. But the best maintained one. So he was on. And prior to that, I don't know if you heard of a match made in Halo, Sick in the Head, and Psycho Vandal. The two that got married at a Halo wedding. They were on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
a little more Halo weddings.
Yes. Yeah. Two of the latest ones, but...
Very cool indeed.
Yep.
So how long have you been over there at the Running Riot podcast?
I started it back about 2 years ago. The first year was just... me and I had some, people I knew who I play with online, my brother, and some other people just joining in, because I do it over Xbox Live. You know, I just have a Halo 3 party in the same way even the interviews are doing now. I don't like we're doing this via Skype, but and my guests come in via Xbox Live, and I capture the audio from there. And for the first year, I was just doing a podcast capturing the audio from that. No interviews, but just talking about Halo. And then the next year, I switched to an interview format. And same kind of thing, capturing the audio from Halo 3, from the game, and doing interview stuff.
Cool. So since you do the whole Xbox Live party thing, do you ever get compared to shows like This Spartan Life?
Aha. Okay, well, that's our next guest in April. Our April show is Damian Lacedaemon from This Spartan Life, one of the major inspirations for The Running Riot.
Cool.
So, yes, I've never heard anybody verbally compare us to that. This is the first time, and I'm actually happy you did that. It's actually even an honor to be compared to them, the same way that it's an honor to be on Podtacular, because it was another inspiration for The Running Riot. So I'm actually very happy right now. You just said that, and I'm on this podcast. But that was a major inspiration, The Spartan Life. And I'm going to be talking about that in my April episode, on how they were a major influence. The difference, though, between theirs and ours is we do it live.
Right.
And theirs is, you know, a machinima type of interview, which is great. You know, I love it. And they got some announcements for us, actually, some new stuff coming out that we're going to discuss next month.
Very nice.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Well, we're glad we can make you happy.
you've already had by asking me to be on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, especially as a guest, since we haven't had one in a while. So, I know Greg would probably be shouting out a few more things about you and all the hoorah, but he's not here, so we miss him.
Well, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, hopefully he's okay. All the calls I've had to him have gone straight to voicemail, so hopefully nothing bad has happened. He probably left his phone off again or left it on charge.
Life happens.
Yes, indeed it does. Okay, so we're talking about Halo 2, since on April 15th, the original Xbox Live service will no longer be available. All the original Xbox games that had Live will no longer function. And that includes our beloved Halo 2, which actually started Podtacular. Fumo, who was the old host, founded Podtacular back
yep.
June of 2005, doing a Halo 2 podcast. I forget, what was the first level he did?
I can't remember. I used to know. Oh. I think it.
What did like a walkthrough?
Would Relic have been around then? I know that he did Relic show pretty early.
Relic. It wasn't Relic. Oh, I can pull up the. No, I can't because I can't get the Podtacular. Dang it! Oh. I'd know if I can get the Podtacular. The show notes are up there. But yeah, he did a tip show for one of the maps. Someone's probably yelling at it right now into their iPods. So
well, JVB and Fumo Jive, the automate.
Actually, it was a spell check for a little while. Mm-hmm. For I think a year, spell check was on. And that was the inspiration for Podtacular was Halo 2, and it all started from there.
I can definitely relate to that.
So we are actually looking at the campaign for Halo 2. This is kind of a one of a three-part farewell to Halo 2. And this week we're doing Campaign Tales. For some at least for me, I think this was probably the longest and hardest campaign out of all the Halo games so far, was Halo 2's campaign. I don't know, what about you guys?
The hardest?
Yeah, especially on Legendary. I think it was probably the most frustrating and hardest campaign. So no, for Halo 3, Legendary is relatively easy compared to the other two. And Halo 1 was just awesome in the first place.
Well, Brent, you go first, actually.
For me, I guess the hardest campaign out of the three was, I guess it would be Halo 2, if you're just looking at it from a Legendary perspective. I know I didn't find any of the three campaigns especially hard on the normal or heroic difficulty, really. But I guess with Halo 2, it was just the fact that the first level was so crazy on Legendary. Like, I had a lot of trouble on, oh man, I can't even remember the name of it. Something Station. Cairo Station. There you go. I can't believe I couldn't remember that. But,
It's been a while. It's okay.
You know, walking in and, you know, you go into this room and you're like, yeah, first level on Legendary is going to be pretty easy. And you like get destroyed by all these elites that pop out and, you know, they're all shooting their plasma pistols at you.
Especially that first encounter.
Yeah.
That's. That really surprises a lot of people. Because I bet everyone, the first time they played Legendary on that, died in that first wave, at least once.
Oh, I died more than once. I died far more than one time. It was more like, you know, 20 or 23 times.
Yeah, but then the second boarding room, where they had the Spec Op elites.
Oh, yeah.
That was frustrating.
That was fun.
Oh, you call it fun?
Oh yeah, that's my kind of fun.
I mean, once you gathered enough plasma pistols and had your BR, you were fine. But
if you're a masochist, you will love Cairo Station on Legendary.
Oh god. I mean, I can get through it pretty quickly now since I've played it enough times. But
right.
I mean.
That first time around.
I could place an expletive in there, but I'll resist.
Just say expletive.
Expletive. But yes. So let's see. Campaign for Halo 2. What was your guys' most memorable moments or memorable level from Halo 2 that you can remember from back then?
I played, the last time I played the Halo 2 campaign was right before Halo 3 came out. To play through it fully.
And what was your most...
The most memorable moment? Well, just in general, just from the Halo 2 campaign. I don't know, the most memorable moment was definitely, I always... When you first got to Earth, and we, you know, going through the Metropolis and all that, just to see that, you know, the battle on Earth, and to see the Covenant on Earth, just that, every time I think of Halo 2. And I remember, like, everybody was just like, and we left Earth, and everybody got upset. You know,
right.
Yeah. Everybody giggles on that because everybody's like, okay, yes. Everybody's like, the fight was supposed to be on Earth. And it was.
For 30 minutes.
Yes.
The fight goes to Earth for an hour and a half.
And yeah, right. It says it on the back of the game, too. It's like, they battle at Earth. Or, you know. But like, it still resonated. I was still like, all right. And we did battle on Earth. And every time I think of the Halo 2 campaign, when it just made me excited for the rest of the game. I actually didn't care where it went after that because it was just exciting to have that kind of familiarity, even though it was the future Earth. But that's my most memorable thing, was the Halo 2 campaign, which I think out of all the campaigns is I actually like that the most out of all the campaigns, even better than Halo 1.
This is going to sound really weird, but like whenever I think of Halo 2, the campaign, like, my mind instantly remembers the moment when you're on Delta Halo and you're in that little base and you go into the, I guess it's like a underwater shuttle, and you take that shuttle and, like, you're underwater. Yeah. Yes. And, I mean, there was nothing even, like, extraordinary about that event. I just remember it for some reason. I remember the fight on Delta Halo the best. But
I guess, you know, yeah, that's that. Well, the whole underwater thing, I was just like, where are we going? And where is this taking to us? You're talking about, like, what's the first thing that just stands out to me is that, but there was many moments. That's why I thought the Halo 2 campaign had many moments like that, where just like, this story is twisting more than the first Halo, where, you know, we're on just Halo, and we, you know, they got, you know, what's going on, and we know more of, you know, there was twists in that too, but I think more of it was more of a journey. Great journey on Halo 2.
Whoa!
Hey! Ba-ba-dum.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
Sorry for that. But
No, you're fine. I think the underwater thing that you're talking about kind of puts out Halo 2 kind of uniquely. I think some of the... I don't know how you put this, but the things that you did, like the gondolas over the water, the underwater bridges, fighting through the Covenant city, that really makes Halo 2 kind of pop out, was all the scenery that you got in that game, all the different locations that you were playing in. I mean, it was just so diverse.
Absolutely. That's why I think it's the best.
Well, I still think Halo 1 was the best campaign, story-wise.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The only thing I like about Halo 3's campaign is when you're on the Ark, and I think that was the level, the Ark. And you get to the end of that little desert portion, and you're just waiting there for the I think it's the Forward Unto Dawn.
Forward Unto Dawn comes sweeping in, baby.
Well, the best part of that is, like, you think you're getting, like, a Pelican dropship for some reason. Like, the first time I played that through, I see this little Pelican dropship come on. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get, like, a Warthog, and it's going to be, like, maybe some Marines. It's going to be sweet. And, like, all of a sudden, just this huge, massive, like, carrier pops out of nowhere, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm getting a tank!
And you're getting blown away.
I got a story about that. The first time I played Halo 3, and maybe a lot of people have the story, but I was, you know, the Forward Unto Dawn came sweeping in, and you know when it comes in, it pushes all the vehicles that were already destroyed, you know, it blows them back. It blew a Wraith right into me and killed me.
Oh yeah.
The first time I played. Yes. I died immediately.
Absolutely.
I got to watch the scene again because I died.
Hopefully you didn't die the second time.
The second time I was in the corner, I was huddled in the corner.
Can you imagine if that was canon in the actual Halo story, where like this epic battle, and just all of a sudden the Master Chief gets, you know, killed by a, you know, rogue wraith getting blown over by the Forward Unto Dawn.
In the story.
Oh man. That's humanity has failed.
Best game ever.
Oh, over.
Play again.
then it like starts with Marathon or some other game, and just.
No, and then it's like insert coin.
Yeah.
Just after that, you see this like scene where they're having a like a memorial ceremony for the Master Chief.
Or it was all a dream. It was all a dream, and then it was a wake
up. I'm charging my laser.
They take a piece of the Wraith and they write 117 on it, and put it down as like a grave marker.
We can only dream. That will happen at Reach. Like at the end of Reach, so it'll be like it was all a dream and everything you saw was nothing. Let me show you this little internet video.
Halo Wars?
What?
You mean Halo Wars?
No, Halo Reach.
that was supposed to be a joke in there.
Whoa,
oh,
was
oh,
Halo,
I see. I oh,
Halo
yeah, yeah, ha, ha, get it. Sorry, maybe that's a little too subtle, but.
So I don't get it. Was Halo Wars literally like they retconned it as a dream?
No, it was. It was supposed to be canon, but
it is absolutely canon.
They like since they got rid of the core, they couldn't go anywhere, and the story was lost, blah, blah, blah.
They made it. They finished it up neat.
There's so many holes in there that, I mean, if they put out a beacon, they would have been found before the Halo story. I mean, there's a few holes in there that really don't add up.
There's a lot of holes throughout.
There's a lot of holes in Halo.
There's a lot of holes in Halo. When you have a franchise, but there's a lot of holes in a lot of fiction when it gets this big.
Well, yeah.
You know, you talking about, this is starting to become on the level of Star Wars, Star Trek. You could start
reasons I
getting
don't Halo Legends either.
You could pick away at it.
Yeah, and I had this actually, because I just had this discussion on my last show. I'm talking to, you know, the administrator of Halopedia, and we're talking about, you know, plot holes. We're talking about everything, you know. You're talking about the fiction like we're doing now. And, I mean, we pretty much just had to break it down. It actually, what it comes down to is a lot of holes that can easily be filled or cleaned up by Oni.
Oh, yeah.
Oni will clean up everything. I always say that wrong, but Oni will clean up everything. Like, you can easily just, it could have been a secret, and they could have made it go away. So, yes, these holes, they're all over the place. And they're always going to be all over the place in fiction like this.
Oni is like the best Deus Ex Machina in the history of, like, in the history of canon. Yep. Oni got rid of it. Seriously, just trust us. Trust
it's
us.
Out. It's Bungie's out. It's the Bungie Halo, the Bible's out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I apologize for my Halo Wars ignorance. I don't like RTS games, and I never played it. Like, I thought about playing it.
I played the campaign once, and that was it.
I mean, story-wise, it's okay.
Story was good.
Going back, I think that's why I ultimately like Halo 2's campaign story. Not the gameplay. I like Halo 3's gameplplay better as far as campaign goes. But in Halo 2, I think I like the story better because I felt like in Halo 3, they did a lot of stuff that seemed kind of unnecessary in the grand scheme of things. Like in Halo 2, every piece of plot in Halo 2 had a purpose that would ultimately go on to be resolved in Halo 3. But like in Halo 3, Miranda Keyes getting like slaughtered, I didn't understand that portion. I didn't understand why it was necessary to kill off Miranda at that point.
It was
point
too
in the
mediocre.
And
it's
then,
an end
like,
of a story.
End,
it's a drama. The drama of it.
But,
people have to die at the end of a story. That's typical storytelling.
But people, I mean, it kind of took away the emotional depth of Johnson getting killed at the end. Because, I mean, you've already lost one. And I mean,
right.
Any kind of impact that losing a major story character would have had was kind of lost on Miranda Keyes at that moment, you know? And it was so late into the story that you didn't have any time to rebuild that kind of impact. Because,
a lot
I mean,
of people
Miranda
died.
Keyes...
It didn't seem to fit.
Well, I mean, a lot of people just died. I mean, if I think about, like, all the people who died in Halo 3, all the major characters that died in Halo 3.
But, I mean... Granted, this might not be Bungie's fault. I'm more to put blame on Microsoft for pushing this. But if they had more time to actually work on the story, and especially for Halo 2, I mean, a lot of people thought that it was just a nasty cliffhanger that got left. If they actually had the time to work on Halo 3, develop an actually good storyline, it could have been a ton of times better than it actually was. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So I could be wrong, but I think they tried to put too much in there, trying to wrap up the game too quickly.
I don't know.
They didn't let the story have enough time to come to a graceful ending. It was very abrupt, very rough.
Well, the issue I had with killing off Miranda Keyes is that it didn't leave any room for me to write my post-Halo 3 Lord Hood and Miranda Keyes fan fiction.
Yeah, we're not going to see no more of her unless they clone her or something. You know, here we go.
Well, there you go. That's going to be my Deus Ex
Machina. Oni fixed it.
Oni had her DNA, and they cloned her as part of the a new Spartan program.
Wait.
And now she's coming Cortana. Back to date Lord Hood.
No, she is Cortana.
She is Lord Hood. There you go. Biggest twist in the face of the
Oh, geez, that'd be so bad.
Well, that. Yeah, you actually. All right, this is just like deja vu for me. We were going crazy about this in our last show.
Yeah, we should probably get back on topic.
I mean, we're kind of on topic. We're talking about
Halo 2.
But I mean, we always go off of these tangents, and I don't know if you saw my other message, Brent, but we hit Halo Legends again. Remember, we try to always like avoid Halo Legends.
Did we talk about Halo Legends this time around?
Yeah, I brought it up, and
we brought it up briefly. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't watch Halo Legends, so I can't comment.
Well, it's. I mean, I know you. I don't know if you've heard some of the other podcasts we've had, Keith, but whenever we get on topics about Halo Legends, it just kind of explodes into mayhem and blaming Microsoft and Frankie.
Oh, no.
End up trying to defend it, even though I haven't seen it. It's great.
Well, this is. You just better get used to it. You just better get used to.
Yeah.
More Halo, more stories, more books, more fiction.
Taking the game out of Halo.
Well,
I mean, they're working with the extended universe here. I mean, think about Star Wars. After the Star Wars movies, they took the movies out of Star Wars. All they had left was, like, books and fan fiction, you know?
But you concentrate your time away from the games, the quality of your games are going to degrade.
It depends on if you're into the fiction. If you're into the fiction, you're kind of, you know, but some people have been to the games, which is, thank God there's a lot to offer within the games. If it was only like a little bit into the games and you wanted to, and you were really into the story, there was no multiplayer in Halo. That which is blasphemy almost to say.
Would Halo exist to Halo 3
exactly.
at that point?
No.
Like,
no.
Would we get a Halo 2?
But just say it was like a Bioshock type of thing. I mean, even though Bioshock 2 got a multiplayer, which is a whole nother freaking story. But if just say it was like just story based, you know, based on only that kind of fiction, you know, how Halo expands so much into that, you're gonna lose some people when something gets this big. But thank God the games. Oh, good. that you don't have to, you know, always have to be only focused. The universe is really huge. The Halo universe is big, and it's going to get tremendously bigger now.
Right.
This is just the beginning.
Well, technically, it's the end, according to Cortana.
Well, there's a lot of stories to be told. It's just there's going to be so many more stories to be told. You're just going to have to. I'm a fan of the fiction. And
I am too. I love the storyline. That's one of the reasons why.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean, I've read the books. Granted, I need to go back and read them again. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just to the point where. I like the story so much. I don't want to see anything happen to it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've let go of that. Because if I try to, like, I've coveted other stories, other fictions out there that when the fiction universe gets so big, it's going to get out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to let go, and just. I chose to continue to enjoy it. You know, the parts that I like, there's going to be stuff that you might disagree with or whatever, or just say, oh, that's stupid or whatever. But when it gets that big, I'm just going to start like the stuff that I like and not like the other stuff. Ascended Justice.com?
Yes.
Okay, those guys, you know, how they tore apart the fiction.
Yes.
I had those guys on a show.
Which I still think they took part of my work, but I don't know. Or that, something did. Maybe not them, something else.
Two of the writers from there got hired by 343 Industries.
Very nice.
And
Dustin has a vendetta against 343 Industries, so that might not be the best thing to tell Dustin.
Wait, we'll go into that later. We'll go into that later.
No, go ahead. Go on with your story.
Well, it's just that those two guys were brought on pretty much to preserve the fiction and keep Microsoft in check with, you know, they can't. You can have people, writers come in, have their own visions, what's canon and what's not canon. But those ghost guys there are so good at keeping, you know, not letting it get out of control. But I mean, it could very easily get out of control. I mean, that, you know, the guys at the, you know, with the executives at any point could say, we're doing this, I don't care where the story goes to them. But the fact that they hired those two guys from the community, I have more faith that the Halo story is not going to be a disaster like Star Wars.
Right.
Well,
that was kind of the analogy I was going to go into. It's kind of like with Star Wars. I mean, there's two types of ways that a fan can view the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. Most people, just the general public is going to view Star Wars as, and I'm gonna go ahead and just pretend like this is, you know, 1993 and the episodes 1, 2, and 3 don't exist yet. Okay, so at that point in time, you had episodes 4, 5, and 6, and they were movies, and they were great movies. Mm-hmm. And I remember even as a kid I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't know about Star Wars. I don't remember a time in my life where someone like introduced me to Star Wars. I just always knew that it existed, and I had always, right, you know, known about the movies, and I'd watched the movies. They were that important. They were that culturally relevant, and I mean they were well produced movies. They were great.
Yeah.
And they had a really solid canon, kind of like Halo's 1, 2, and 3 do. They have a very set. It's not a large universe, but it sets itself up to become large. Right. But it contained within itself. Episodes 4, 5, and 6 are not a huge universe to work with.
Right.
And after those movies came out, they expanded with the books. And if you've ever seen, I don't even know how many Star Wars Expanded Universe books there are. I can only assume it's in literally the hundreds.
Oh, sure it is.
And there's a ton of
several hundred.
I mean, if you want to know more about Star Wars than you've ever wanted to know, go to Wookiepedia.com and just like start down that path. Like type in Yoda and everything you thought you know about Yoda, you don't know nothing. All right. You'll get his like full 500 year like, and Jarlet the samurai begot blankety blank, you know, and get 500 years of genealogy of Yoda. And I mean, I respect it. That, I mean, that happened. And there are people that are really into that expanded universe. They view Star Wars in a completely different way than I do. Mm-hmm. Like, I choose to view Star Wars in terms of episodes 4, 5, and 6 happened, and, like, that's a controlled universe. I don't know anything about the universe other than I know that Han Solo is badass because I love Harrison Ford, and I know that Carrie Fisher was hot in a metal bikini, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's all I know about Star Wars. And I like to keep it in that kind of small contained package of 4, 5, and 6, and then later on episodes 1, 2, and 3. And the reason that I didn't enjoy episodes 1, 2, and 3 as much was because it did kind of take a bit of the expanded universe and put that into the movies. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of felt it didn't feel as contained as the original movies. But I still enjoyed the episodes 1, 2, and 3. But
I enjoyed
kind of
them.
Go ahead. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Basically, that's how I view Halo at this point. Is Halo's 1, 2, and 3 are over. And at this point, if anybody's going to... They've already said that they're not going to continue the storyline of Master Chief. Or at least for the foreseeable future. There might be a time later on when they decide to, you know, go down that path again. But I don't know when. And I doubt it will be... in this console generation, at least.
Right.
So at this point, you can be, if you don't like the extended universe, then you don't have to pay attention to it. It's like with the original movies. But if you're into the fiction, you want something more. You want them to produce more stuff that adds to that universe because you're really into that fiction. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm fine with stuff like Halo Legends and more Halo books and even offshoot games to a certain extent. Because, I mean, it's almost as if I view it as two separate franchises at that point. At that point, it's the Bungie Halo games, which I revere, and then it's the Halo Extended Universe, which I don't enjoy, but I'm not going to begrudge someone for enjoying that fiction. You see what I'm saying?
I absolutely see that. I agree with exactly. It's just, you know what? When it gets something that big, if you like every single, if you like every part of it, you know the term fanboy. Like, you, there's nothing that they could do wrong. You know, no matter what comes out with it. You know, no matter what.
Well, I consider myself a fanboy, but I definitely think they do some things wrong.
Well, the definition of I thought as a fanboy would be what or at least what the internet makes a fanboy is somebody who likes stuff, likes as a fan of something no matter what. They throw at you, even if it's something that you normally wouldn't like, and you know, but it's Halo, but I gotta like it. I'm gonna like it no matter what, and I'm gonna make excuses for it to make sure that I like it. You know, I'm gonna even come up with stuff in my head to make it work because it's Halo. So, but if Halo, when something gets this big, you just take stuff that you like and the stuff you don't like. And see, the thing is, I just see people who get mad at it so much or so passionate about it. And that's great. And the passion's great about Halo. But I try not to. And I used to be this way. And I used to be this way even about Star Wars. And I don't want to be. It's a waste of time, I think, because, you know, we're not in control of the fiction. You want to be in control of it, you know, you have to write your own story. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can't control it, so take the good stuff that you like, and there's probably a lot of it in Halo. There's a lot of things we like about it. And the stuff you don't like, you don't like. But I don't think it should ruin the franchise for you.
Right. The issue I have with the Extended Universe is when it starts feeling like they're cranking it out solely for money. I understand that any time you put out a product, you're doing it to make money. Like, mm-hmm. the reason that 343 Industries exists is because they understand that Halo sells. If you put Halo on something, it's going to sell like, you know, it's going to sell gangbusters. And that's why I appreciate bringing on people like the community members into the 343 Industries.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
go ahead. No, go ahead.
But that's actually, I've never heard that before. That was unprecedented. Microsoft hired, you know, people from the community to run a website that's really not, you know, I mean, it was just the guys just telling stories. I mean, they were, you know, they pretty much broke it down. They probably got some recommendations, but that I can't believe, like, they hired, of course, Frank O'Connor came from Bungie. Of course, you're going to hire him and bring him in. But they brought those guys in. That was big. I thought that was, like, as far as fiction is concerned, you got just people who were just, they were just really big fans of the fiction and just broke it down so much. But they hired them on as content managers and, you know, it was interesting. I'm not saying it guarantees anything, but
it's a good start. That if you're going to do it, that's how you do
promising.
It.
It's promising.
If anybody could have a deep understanding of the Halo canon, it would be those guys.
Absolutely.
And 343 Industries, they understood that. I have a lot of the developers and publishers that I respect the most in the gaming industry are the ones that understand that the hardcore gamers that get into this stuff are the people that you need to hire. You don't need to hire, you know, these corporate PR shills, you know, these crazy marketing teams that know nothing about the games. You need to get people that know what what gamers want.
Right.
They know how to do it. And that's what I'm saying. I'm fine with the extended universe as long as it doesn't feel like quality is being sacrificed for quantity. As long as it doesn't feel like they're jeopardizing... I think a lot of the problem that people have is that they don't like the fact that the extended universe kind of has to retcon a lot of the stuff that, you know, happened in the general canon universe of Halos 1, 2, and 3, and then Halo Reach, the game. They don't like the fact that new stuff is happening. They like it contained. Like, they don't...
Well, yeah, keep it neat.
Whenever you get into an extended universe, crazy stuff is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's just natural. I mean, that happened with Star Wars, going back to the Wikipedia thing. Like, that's crazy stuff. But it's going to happen anytime you go into an extended universe.
Yep.
But at the same time, I feel like the stuff that 343 Industries is putting out there, even though it's different from the main canon, I feel like it still has... It's still a quality product. Taken on its own, if I took that separate from the Halo franchise, if you had rebranded what 343 Industries put out as something else, and I'd never known about Halo in my life, and it was like they named it Angel the Awakening or something, like, I'd be like, yeah, that's a good product. This is good stuff. But, I mean, as long as they keep putting out quality instead of just pushing out more and more stuff so that they can get more product out to the people and sell more, I'm fine with that.
Right. I agree. I think what they've come out so far with it, between the books and Halo Legends, even the comic books, there's nothing been so off, a big departure from the Halo universe that we should be really that upset. You know, there's going to be little things. There's going to be the plot holes. There's going to be all these little things that are going to not jive, you know, but they can...
Right.
Oni will clean it up. Oni will clean it up later. But, or another book coming out later where they clean it up. And that's another thing those guys will do. They have explanations of stuff. Maybe you won't know about it now, but you'll know about it later.
Right.
They'll recognize the holes and they'll clean and they'll fill them up. But I don't know. You know what I like? I like the fact that we're comparing an enormous franchise like Star Wars, and everybody's doing it. It's not just us here, what we're talking about now, to Halo. You know, it's that's an honor, I think, man. I mean, why it's being compared so much to that is, I think this is showing how big this universe is growing.
Well, what I'm interested to see is how it holds up over time. Star Wars is a, what, a 40-year-old product at this point? I know they were originally about...
maybe
30. Regardless, it is an old product. It is a decades-old franchise. And the fact that it's still relevant today and as much people... I want to see if Halo still has that kind of clout 20, 30, you know, 35 years down the line. That's what I'm interested in.
That's really true, too. I never actually thought of it that way. I mean, I know it's relevant, but...
That's going to be... I think Star Wars is one of those things that's going to be really tough to beat, because you have a ton of different franchises that... And, I mean, gamers are always looking for the newest and greatest experience.
Well, I don't think it'll ever beat Star Wars. I'm not saying to beat it.
Well, yeah.
Star Wars, but
I'm saying its lifespan is going to be straining probably by the time it gets to 30 years, unless they're still making Halo games, which could very well be the case.
It could very well be the case. But this is another era of media that we're talking about from when Star Wars came out, because, you know, I mean, first you had movies for Star Wars. Right, so you had the movies first; they became games, or they, you know, you had games associated with them, and it's still, you know, they're in all kinds of media. Halo starts out as a game, and now is breaking out into other.
Where's the Halo movie?
Yeah.
Where's the Halo movie?
Well, you.
That's what three.
You want to start talking about that?
I saw Avatar. I've seen Halo.
Yes. There's that comparison too.
Hey, oh man, God, if they take that Avatar tech and turn it into a Halo movie, I'd be fine with that. That'd be fine with me, man. Just a bunch of explosions and giant pelicans would be great.
Yeah, there'd be ecstasy. There would just no way we'd be able to handle that.
IMAX 3D.
Oh my god.
I agree with what most you said. I have my discrepancies, and that's probably just how I think Halo Universe should be like, and what probably actually isn't. So.
Well, it's a passion. As long as you have the passion, then you're good.
I mean, I understand that they have to appeal to the general population, and that they're in it for money. But it I don't know. It kind of just rubs me the wrong way to really just kind of mess it up like that, in my opinion.
Well, mm-hmm. Going back to the Star Wars kind of analogy, I know it's weird to compare Halo, a video game, to something like Star Wars.
Well, it's actually
I think it's actually almost straight on, because it's both sci-fi.
But if it's if history is any indication, I would almost argue that the Star Wars extended universe is the people that not the extended universe itself, but the extended universe in conjunction with the people that were crazy about it. And the people that kept up with it, you know, when they were at the Star Wars conventions every single year, dressed up, you know, in cosplay as Star Wars, and the crazy people that are into the fiction like that, kept that franchise alive for as long as it did until episodes 1, 2, and 3 came out.
Right.
I think it could be argued that if the extended universe didn't exist for Star Wars, we wouldn't have seen episodes 1, 2, or 3. Third, or, you know, however many, 25 or 7 years later.
Well, absolutely, because, like, George Lucas, when he made the, you know, Star Wars, you know, he keeps saying that, you know, he had this story all wrote out and he had to condense it into that first one.
Right.
But as it, you know, the popularity of it when the movie came out, I'm not sure if, I mean, I don't, I always think about, like, how much he really actually wrote out that story. Cause he always says it's always all been written out. All six of the movies and some of these backstories. I question that. But, he never expected it to be this big. Nobody did.
No.
But, because nobody writes a story that big and has this expanded, or at least, you know, other people are writing for Star Wars, but, he's sitting there like, wow, man, this just probably got his juices flowing as he saw this reaction to his movie. As it would me. I mean, if you just, people like this, like, oh, I'll just keep going with this, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, juices flowing.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that the people that are into the extended universe fiction are the kind of people that are dedicated enough to that to keep the franchise alive in their own minds, and in even some ways the mind of the general public. Because you would hear news stories all the time of, like, Star Wars conventions, you know, and stuff, and they would show it even after the movies. I mean, we're looking through the 80s, and they would always show, look at these Star Wars geeks. I bet you like Star Wars back in the 70s, but they like it way more than you do. Like, you know, and they're wearing the costumes. And I even remember something, I think it was fairly recent, where a guy got a Star Wars marriage, where they got the guy that originally played Boba Fett in the original trilogy.
Wow.
To be the guy to marry him. He was basically their priest.
Wow.
They had a dude in Darth Vader, in a Darth Vader costume, and he was originally going to be the priest, but then the original Boba Fett walks up in his Boba Fett outfit and says, "Get the hell off my stage," or something to that effect, and he basically marries him on the spot. It was pretty cool. But, I mean, it's just stuff like that that I would have never thought of Star Wars that day if I hadn't seen that news story. And I think that Halo stays alive by the people that are like that. And
right.
The only thing that I don't see happening is in this kind of, you know, we're having this dreams day scenario, as I call it, where basically, you know, Halo's still a relevant franchise 30 years from now. I don't see any Halo conventions. And that always seemed like
MLG.
A big deal with the
MLG.
No, I'm not even MLG. I'm talking a real convention here, Dustin. I'm talking cosplayers. I'm talking people that will sit down and they will have panels on the extended universe canon of Halo. Like,
you're talking like a Halo Con or a Bungie Con,
right, yeah.
Something
Halo,
like that.
Are we going to see that in the future? Is that a possibility? I don't see it now. And
The age has kind of changed, especially it's since it's centered around a video game. It seems like it's easier to do that for a movie because you're really not directly involved in it. Where in video games, you're jumping in and experiencing it like firsthand and playing with other people online, and that's how you kind of socially interact, is by playing with people. Where for Star Wars is you have to go find other people that are enthusiastic about it as you are, where for Halo you can just hop on live and be like, oh, you're playing Halo 2.
I would agree with that argument, except I see something like PAX and I see how big that is, and it kind of just blows that argument out of the water. Because, yeah. I mean, PAX is a gaming convention. By your argument, these people are, and they do interact with each other online and usually not in person, not in, you know, large groups, but...
Yeah, but
they do
like,
interact
with
each other.
If you look at it, it seems more like these conventions are for special announcements than
not PAX.
Not PAX, though.
Not
no,
PAX.
Not PAX.
I don't.
The
I
other
don't
ones, E3, and the other conventions you see there are more definitely more towards announcements.
Yeah.
There's more business in those. PAX is actually there's very few announcements actually. There's some, you know, there's business to be done. You know, on the expo floor. And believe me, I've just been reading all about this because I'm going to PAX East in a couple of days.
Oh, man, but, I wish I was going to PAX East. You're so lucky. I'm so jealous.
It's my first, obviously my first PAX, but it's not that there's been that many. But the PAX is a different animal than your usual business convention, and it's more of a social setting. And kind of like the conventions that they had, like even Star Wars, it's definitely more of a social thing. They're not selling Star Wars at those conventions. They're just socializing with other people who are like you. So I hate to keep saying, but this is I've talked about this on my show about a Bungie Con or a Halo Con, that the universe is big enough to have something like that.
Yeah. I would actually love that. I would attend that every single year.
Oh, my God. I'd have to be. That'd be mandatory. For people
it'd probably be mandatory for for Podtacular, it would definitely be mandatory.
Well, think of it. It would be mandatory because we'd probably have to have like a Halo podcast like panel.
Yeah.
We'd probably be hosting it.
I'll be doing a live show. We'll be doing live shows. We'll all be hanging
out.
That'd
be cool, man.
I said it to Louis Wu about that. I said, so you talk to your people over at Bungie. Let's get a Bungie Con going or something.
Right.
And he's just like, I don't know. I don't organize anything.
I'm sure we can probably go.
But look at that. Blizzard, BlizzCon, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, BlizzCon is huge.
A developer has, you know, they're having a convention. Why can't Bungie have one?
I think it sell out in like 30 minutes last year or something, BlizzCon.
Yeah,
30 minutes?
Less than that. Less than that.
It might have been like 15 if I remember 15
minutes, I think.
BlizzCon is huge. And it's just people that love a certain type of game. I think that it's easy to argue that BlizzCon is secretly WoWCon, and I'm not
true.
Saying,
true.
I would say there's like an 80-20 split between 80% that love World of Warcraft and then 20% that love Diablo, StarCraft, and whatever Vikings Racing or whatever they had back in the day. But it was Rock and Roll Racing. I think that those are made Rock and Roll Racing, but they also had a Vikings game. I think it's called Lost Vikings. They actually reference Lost Vikings in like most of their modern games now. It's pretty cool. But it's just the fact that a single game like World of Warcraft, and the World of Warcraft has a huge set of lore too. It has a large extended universe, and I think I appreciate the Warcraft lore a lot, because instead of just allowing the general Warcraft lore, where it would be just, you know, a normal kind of small contained set, they make their own extended universe. They supply a ton of lore to that game that isn't even part of the game. Like, right. If you go to I think it's called a WoW Wiki. That's where I usually go. You can look up the lore on all of these characters, and it's just pages long of like biographies and, you know, what happened in the millennia, you know, prior to the World of Warcraft events. And just the fact that a game like that could sell out an entire convention in less than 15 minutes, I think you could do that with Halo. I think it's completely possible.
I think it's completely possible. I think that the universe is definitely big enough.
Yeah.
But
well, let's try to get back on topic here. Since well,
that's a good conversation, man. I think that's conversation we've had a long time.
I know it is. I just don't want the listeners to feel drowned out by all of our talking.
Well, your listeners are gamers.
Right. Well, hopefully they're engaged in our conversation. Hopefully we've engaged their thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, you just got me going sometimes because I just actually was just talking about this, but it was I can talk about that stuff all day long. And anytime we talk about the fiction and
I'm sure.
Our show,
I mean,
our shows are really long.
If there was like just a way for a bunch of podcasters just to sit down and talk about random stuff, that would make an excellent show. I mean, I know there are podcasts that do it. I mean,
right.
Rooster Teeth's.
The Drunk Tank is largely like that. They just talk about random stuff. That's actually my favorite format for podcasting. That's where I kind of shine. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm a great podcaster, but the times when I am best in podcasting is when I am just talking about random stuff with you guys.
Right.
Like when we go off on a tangent. Like,
I mean, that's what the people like too.
Yeah. I mean, submissions are great, but sometimes I like to go off on random stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's podcasting.
Yep.
Indeed it is. Well, getting back on topic for now.
All right.
Before we derail again.
Steer the ship.
Hurry! It's going to derail.
Steer the train. Steer the train.
I guess for everyone that's played Halo 2, you remember that you got to play the Arbiter, which was a big jump from Halo 1.
Ooh, you know what?
I forgot about
that. I'm an idiot, too. Like, I actually should have said that was actually the most memorable moment in a campaign for me. I can't even believe I just didn't... I went in the dark about Halo 2's campaign.
Right.
And I didn't know we were going to play as the Arbiter. When that, all of a sudden, just came up as the Arbiter...
Mm-hmm.
I take that back. I take everything I said back before. That was the biggest moment for me.
I think that would have been a big moment for me. Except I got Halo 2 about 5 months after its release. I actually got into Halo.
Oh, I got
5 months
after
Halo 2's release. And an issue of EGM actually spoiled the Arbiter thing for me before I got the game. Which kind of messed up the moment, but.
Oh, that was day one. Hour one.
Until
nice.
Like a year after it, because I didn't have an Xbox. I mean, I had friends that did, but. I mean, Halo 2 for me was Halo 2 Vista when it came out.
Were you aware of the Arbiter playable character?
Yes, I was.
All right.
Yeah. I'm sorry to. Yeah, I definitely have to say that was the most memorable freaking moment. I had no idea, and all of a sudden it was, you know, you're playing as the Arbiter, seeing it from the Covenant's view. You know what? There's so many moments of freaking Halo 2. Okay, so let's go ahead.
No, go for it. I mean, we're talking
about
campaign.
Yeah, I know, but we're going to hit a lot of campaign stuff. But overall, I'll say Halo 2 is definitely my favorite campaign of all three games.
Okay.
But go ahead. So we'll just be talking about it.
I would say Halo 1, but that's just me.
Yep.
It seems like for a lot of trilogies, the first episode or whatever is generally the best. And then your second one as a supplement. And then the third one can either be dead on or just flat out bad.
Well, I think that
in most cases,
in similar, like in the chapter one, chapter two, chapter three type of format, they all serve their purpose. The introduction to something is obviously most memorable.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And then the second one is your, you know, the expanding of that, and a lot of times could be major disappointment. Because you already have in your head with that first experience what it should be like, and then it could be totally different from what you thought it would be. Could be a major disappointment or a major great thing. And then the third chapter, and you've seen, you know, how many trilogies you've seen out there.
Right.
It's all how about how they wrap it up nice in a nice package.
Right.
I think Halo does it nice. I think Lord of the Rings does it nice.
Yeah,
I personally
think Matrix does it pretty good, but a lot of my friends tend to disagree with me on that.
I'm going to disagree on that one too.
Okay.
Kind of a more recent example of that for me is Mass Effect, and going back to what Keith said about, you know, the first experience, you have to take in all of this new information. You get the full, you know, piece of this universe that you all have to take in, and you know. Put it into your brain that this universe is like this. You know, you go into Mass Effect, and unless you just read about it somewhere, you don't know anything about that universe. You learn about the different alien races. You learn about, you know, the politics behind that universe. You go into kind of what this, I guess it's, you know, kind of out anyway, but the Reapers as kind of a subject. You get information on even how the alien races breed, you know, as going, you know, the Asari. You know, they're not male nor female. They're all kind of female in the bisexuality.
Spoilers. Not bi,
but they're kind of the bi gender.
For Halo podcast, we don't care.
Right, but I mean,
I don't know, play it.
But it wasn't like that in Mass Effect 2. I felt like that was a worse story. I felt like they did a good job of, all right, you know all this stuff. Now we're gonna take that. And we're going to work a really good story around it, and we're going to expand on the universe, but not so much that it's just going to, like, completely blow your mind, but it's just enough to where you feel comfortable with the information.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what I said either.
Well, I don't. I actually don't play Mass Effect, so I had no comment on the matter. But I heard...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I've heard that... No, but I heard that... No, it's okay. You're not spoiling. It's okay. I'm not going to. I don't have time. I heard this, a lot of what I agree, or at least I've heard that's what a lot of people feel about Mass Effect 2. I've heard a lot of sentiment the same way.
It's a good game. Yeah.
From what I hear.
It's a terrible game. You shouldn't buy it. It's awful. Potacular gives Mass Effect 2 a 3 out of 10. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm not going to judge that. Because I haven't played any of the Mass Effect either.
I would highly suggest playing Mass Effect if you have not yet done so. And I am sorry for anybody that I have spoiled.
Well, here's the thing. I want to play Mass Effect, but... From the way it sounds, I can't play. Just start playing Mass Effect 2. I got to play Mass Effect, and then I got to play Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
You can't just start at Mass Effect 2.
No, it doesn't work. You need to play Mass Effect 1 and then 2.
Especially when you could carry over your character. That was.
Oh, yeah. But I think that Mass Effect 1, as long as you haven't played 2 and haven't experienced the upgrades, I think it still holds up. I think that if you just played it and never knew about the kind of upgrades that Mass Effect 2, you know, provides, and that's just your first playthrough in Mass Effect 1, I think it's fine. It's a great game to this day. It's just in hindsight, after playing Mass Effect 2 and being spoiled by all the improvements that they made, it seems like a bad game. I mean, not a bad game, it seems like a worse game. But I don't know, it's still a good game. Just don't play Mass Effect 2 first.
Okay.
I don't think you can even do that.
That's my...
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Pro tip for the week.
All right, Dust Storm, you got to have to wrangle it in here.
Okay. Right. Well, let's go ahead and get on to some of the submissions that we have for this week. We asked for campaign tales that you all have had from your days of Halo 2, and we have quite a few here that we can read. We have a novel from one. We'll see if we'll read that. So the first one we have here is from B. Porus, and he asks, "Should I get Halo 2?" And I'll let you guys answer that one.
Nope.
Well, have you get Halo 1? I mean, you already have that. I mean, there's a lot of people there who've gotten just Halo 3.
Oh yeah.
You know?
I don't remember who it was, but in the early days of Podtacular, I guest hosted with a leader from another Halo community website. And I can't remember who it was, but basically he told us on the podcast that he had never played a Halo campaign. He just solely bought the games for multiplayer, never wow. touched the campaign. I was like, wow. And he said it just never interested him.
I'm actually not that surprised to hear that though.
But it surprised me to hear like the leader of this like massive, I mean not massive, but it was a prominent Halo community.
Oh, okay, that's surprising.
It was shocking. Okay. Now, no, just from the general like, yo man, I love weed and I love FPS games. Let's play some Halo. Like I can completely understand that guy
that's
not
right
wanting
on.
To get in the campaign, but
yes, which we're familiar with that type of. Xbox Live player, yes. There are definitely the matchmaking or the multiplayer players out there who could give a rat's ass about the campaign.
I think since the multiplayer is going out, don't buy it necessarily from the multiplayer unless you really, really want to. But I think if you're into the story, definitely go ahead and grab a copy of Halo 2. You can get them online for relatively cheap.
Well, I mean, the standalone campaign or the campaigns Halo 1, Halo 2, even Halo 3, if you didn't have, say they didn't have multiplayer, like I said before, I know it's blasphemy, but say if they were just by themselves, as just games by themselves, would they be fun games to play, like a BioShock?
I think they would be fun to play. Now, would they be as successful? Probably not.
No, but there was still something you could pick up and play.
Oh, I'm sure it would be.
So in that
think
sense,
the story's really good. Actually.
Yeah,
and accompanied with the books, I think the books are almost just as much canon as the games are.
Well, just say like a. It never mean the story. Just say the gameplay is just fun enough. You know, you're playing the campaign, Halo 1 campaign, the Halo 2 campaign. You know, even a Halo 3 campaign.
Now,
gameplay
are you
wise,
talking about like removing multiplayer completely, as in no co-op campaign, or are you talking about just like no?
No, keep the co-op in there.
Yeah,
I think if you left the co-op in there, people would still enjoy it. A lot.
It wouldn't be an A title, but it would be
a
game that, you know, you could pick up and play through it, maybe play it on a multiple difficulty settings. And you know, the AI enough is actually in all three games, I think, are worth a rental.
Yeah.
Well, the AI in three could have been a little better. The brewing
yeah.
looked a little dumb.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, I've never played a single legitimate match of Halo 1 multiplayer, and I still love, you know, that game. It's
oh my god, yeah.
I mean, it's a great game.
So that's should you get Halo 2?
That's a very.
I don't know. Just you got to know how much. You're asking Halo fans.
You know what? Yeah. For 20 bucks, go ahead and get it. Just do it.
$20, yeah.
It is for $20. I know this personally because I had to buy another copy because I lost my original copy and I wanted to play it before it died. But
you gotta play it next month.
Play some more this weekend.
Yeah, we need to. Anyway, for $20, I would say if you have played Halo 1. If you haven't played Halo 1, you need to go get Halo 1 first and play through that. You need to play that first. Then play
That's
Halo
like 10
2.
Bucks.
Yeah. Right.
Halo 1's 10 bucks.
Then play Halo 2. And I guess if you're asking that question, you've probably already played Halo 3, so.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I always wondered, if you've played Halo 3 and never played any other Halo games, and you go try to play Halo 1 or 2, like, what would happen to you?
I've done that, and
you've done.
No, I played Halo 2 and 3, but
I don't think you really appreciate the full. Well, personally, this is me saying that. I don't think you would appreciate the full experience if you didn't start out in order.
Looking back on Halo 2, if you weren't around when Halo 2 was new, I mean, at least online. I'm not talking about campaign, but back in Halo 2's multiplayer glory days, I mean, that was an experience all its own back when everybody on your Xbox Live friends list played Halo 2 almost exclusively.
And then you had clans.
It was the only thing worth playing.
Yeah. I mean, I have never had another Xbox Live experience that compares to the experience I had with Halo 2 multiplayer when it was new.
Yep.
And I go back to Halo 2 multiplayer now, and it doesn't seem to hold up. I have these amazing memories of Halo 2 multiplayer from back then, and I think a lot of it had to do with the community. You were playing with great guys. I was playing with, you know, JVB and Corona and Immortal Moose and Immortal 3 and all these, you know, people from the community. I was playing with the Cave Girls and PMS Girls, even though the PMS Girls don't like me very much. And it was the community aspect that you just don't get these days.
Well, it was so new, and it was so exciting, and that's what I actually cannot wait for this next. I don't know about. I think Halo. You know, the first 2 weeks in April are going to be Halo 2. You know, we're just going to be playing Halo 2. I know I am. Just to send it off.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I gotta get my 21st.
Yeah.
It's really like. You know, it's the beginning, really. The multiplayer aspect of Halo 2, you can knock Halo 2, and people knock Halo 2 so much because it was really the only thing, people loved it so much and hated it so much because it was really the only thing that you really could play online where you could get matches, and even if there was cheating or not cheating or whatever, you just, everybody was there. It was the party. It was the real party. Now there's other games. You get like I go onto my friends list now. When Halo 3 first came out, tons of people playing. Of course, same thing's gonna happen with Reach. But now, of course, there's more great multiplayer options for Xbox 360 and for Xbox Live. So you know it's gonna be diluted a little bit.
What
happened? Oh, nothing. No, I just got a message on something. I'm never on my Skype that much, and I just got a message. Okay, anyway. sorry.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, bloop. But Halo 2, I mean, it was just your whole friends list. Exactly. It was everybody's on it. So you just – the party's there. Everybody's going to be there, whether you loved it or hated it. You heard people complaining or you had these people you first met. When it was a real – before that with a console, really, and you spend that much time with, I know you do PC gaming and you have people on there, you play and stuff like that, but the console experience is different. And Xbox Live was different. It was a more consistent service. You know, where you could easily see when your friends were on and all that shit, you know?
Yeah.
So that really brought, you know, Xbox Live and your console community that in the community we have now, it gave birth to it.
I think a lot of what I missed about the Halo 2 days, and this is going to sound like a really weird analogy, but kind of looking back, it's like a bunch of high school students, just bored high school students, don't have anything to do, so they're all just going to get drunk and like break beer bottles over their heads and like punch each other. Like it's those kind of crazy days back in Halo 2 where it was really the only thing you could play, like he was saying. I mean, that was the only thing worth playing at the time. So you would do crazy stuff just out of boredom. Like you would try to get out of the map, mm-hmm. and you would, you know, try to super jump, and you would create all these crazy custom maps or not custom, custom game types like Tower of Power and zombies. And I mean, game types that would go on to be, you know, legitimized official game types in Halo 3. I mean, they were mm-hmm. that good at the time. I mean, you look back at the honor rules that you had to go by in zombies in Halo 2, where every time you die, you'd have to switch over to the other team or else, you know, everybody get mad at you. Like, I mean, because you manually had to go into the menu and you had to change your team. And,
I hated that. I hated that. Like, I really, yeah. I hate that. When they put Infection in Halo 3, I thought it was the best thing ever. And the Forge and all those things that you can control so that, you know, you didn't have to alter or tell people the rules before a game started. When they did that, implemented that in Halo 3.
Yeah.
Because I just hated telling people what to do before.
It was awful, but in a way, it was awful. I'm not arguing with you there, but in a way, I kind of pine for those days. I kind of look back on that kind of fondly as, you know, oh man, we were crazy back then.
Well, remember when it was
young
home,
and youthful. Pretty much.
If we're going to play off of my stupid analogy, it's like nowadays all the high school students grew up and they're all, they have, you know, jobs and they wear suits and, you know, stuff is better. They can buy their own alcohol now and it's legitimate. They're not doing anything illegal and they can buy different brands of alcohol even. But they look back and, you know what? Being a kid breaking beer bottles over my head wasn't so bad after all. I kind of miss those days.
It made me who I am today.
Looking back, breaking out of the map in Halo 2 wasn't so bad. You know, all those people that wouldn't switch in zombies, I kind of miss those days, you know?
If it really truly pissed you off, then you probably switch to another game anyway. But
right.
you kind of... it's just part of the experience.
But it seems like it was, they refined Halo 3 so much that you couldn't do crazy stuff like that anymore. Like, I remember on Tower of Power, that entire game type is, like, broken. Because you have one guy on a tower with, you know, a turret. Everybody has no shields.
Oh,
and
but
he's
it was
just
so
mowing
much fun.
People down the second they... I know. And it was fun, but it was broken. And they refined Halo 3 so much that it was hard to create a map like that or a game type like that.
Yeah, but you know what? It brought on new shenanigans, you know.
Right.
That's why Halo 2. I can't wait, and I'm getting all teary-eyed right now.
I know, that's what I'm saying. If Halo 2's gonna die, I want to be the pallbearer. I'm gonna send it out, burning blaze of glory, you know?
I tell you, I imagine...
Send it out with a bang?
I tell you this. You know, there's definitely gonna be... I could definitely see at least the last week... The second week in April, you know, everybody's going to be playing, and you're going to be able to find matches. It's going to be a good experience, and we're gonna have fun. You're going to team up with some old people you used to play with, maybe that are on your friends list still, if you didn't clear them off from Halo 2 days. I mean, I know I cleared off most of them, but it's. I think it's going to be a walk down memory lane. It's going to be fun. I'm really anticipating so much fun.
It's going to depend on the community, and I think that the community is going to show up.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
The community is going to, you know, show up in droves.
Well, not only
Halo
that.
2. It's proper eulogy here.
Not only that, Bungie's going to be on board. Bungie's doing definitely events for that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Either they'll be there, you know, they'll be there playing, but they'll also have some kind of, like... I imagine some kind of giveaway
right.
or something if you play several games and stuff like that, and or if you find us online, you play with a Bungie employee. I don't know. What do they got?
They've done that before.
Now?
You get to tell everybody you play with a Bungie employee.
Post a screenshot with a tag and
oh yeah,
yeah.
Check this out.
Yes. Okay.
I just want it to be like Michael Jackson's funeral, where we all hold hands at the end and sing We Are the World.
And okay. I'll cry.
Next submission.
And I will cry.
Brent, you want to read the next one?
Yes. Jonah Pandalord, the AA battery, says, "Hey guys, here's my tale from the foxy hole. Only 8 at the time, I waited for my dad, who waited all night to get Halo 2. Arriving home, he told me that they ran out. Sad face. The next morning, I awakened to the Halo 2 theme song ringing on my TV. I played the whole day, and when my dad got home from work, he asked how the game was, and I replied, 'Wow, it's even better than Super Monkey Ball. No homo.'" Okay.
Okay.
Ugh. That, so the dad was picking it up for him, huh?
Yeah.
So the dad, who was he? He was 8 years old. All right, that's a bad dad.
Yeah, that is a bad dad. But to be fair, that might have been my dad, because I think I was playing M-rated games back when I was 10 or 11 at least. I wasn't 8, but I was definitely like...
underage.
I was a preteen. I probably shouldn't have been playing them, but I did.
Yeah, I gotta. My sons love Halo, and they're 6.
Yeah.
And I don't watch them. I don't let them watch gameplay. But I let them watch pictures. I let them, you know, the Halo Encyclopedia. They pictures online and all that, and maybe some videos, some machinima.
Right.
But the actual playing of the game, I'm holding off for a while. I don't know till when. But it's, you know, I actually, on that, he was 8 at the time. I want to know if he was allowed to play online.
I don't know.
That's maybe the question I have for you, Jonah Panel.
Probably. As many 8-year-olds as there were in Halo 2, like, I have no doubt that he might have been online.
I mean, back in the day, too, internet was pretty pricey. I mean, it was DSL.
Right? So everybody just switched off of Prodigy, like, we're all coming
on it. We'll take it out of your
allowance. We're switching over from dial-up. Come on, kids. Oh, boy.
Yeah, but even at the time, modern game consoles back in 2000, the Dreamcast had a 56K modem. So, I mean, that's an indication of how new broadband kind of was at the time.
Yeah.
Well, that was controversial when the Xbox shipped out. Shipped it with only Ethernet port.
That was a smart move, too. Yeah, they knew.
They ushered it in, actually.
That's right. Good job, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Which one's around now, Dreamcast or Xbox? Hmm?
Well, Kate, you think you got the hold of it to get the next one?
Oh my god. Alright. Big Gooba Fish. Hi Potacular, it's the Big Gooba Fish again. Back from the imaginary dead. I heard we were doing call ins and tales from the Foxhole show. Sent it around Halo 2 and I jumped at the mention. I played Halo 2 a lot. I put more hours into that game than I can count. I didn't have live at the time, so I ended up playing the campaign about 50 times over. Anyway, and I probably what I would do too if I didn't. Yeah. Anyway, my tale comes out from the campaign of Halo 2 in the level Metropolis. I was fighting through the bridge of tankage with a tank, and went into the tunnel at the end. I came into the section where you fight Covenant in the subway. And I kept on fragging trucks, killed a group of jackals, and went on forward. I noticed something in the corner of my eye that seemed strange. I looked over and saw a jackal stuck in a looping fall animation floating in midair between a truck and the wall. It stayed like that until I walked into it, killing my character, glitching out the physics, and crashing the game.
Oh, man.
That is all I have for now, and I can remember. Don't go swimming in a Metropolis ocean. You might get attacked by the big gooba fish.
The big gooba fish, as Greg would say.
So it sucks that he died because he touched the animation. But
that's an interesting glitch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a saved film in my, and I haven't found a reason to use it. I have an elite caught in a wall. doing a falling animation, just stuck in a wall, and his arms are just flaring. And I've been meaning to use that in like in a machinima somewhere, but I just stopped doing machinima.
Right.
But that's what that reminds me of. But hey, thank you, Goobafish, for reminding me of that.
Talking about Metropolis, the level. Do you guys remember the what was it called? The Scarab rifle.
Yeah, oh, I never got it. Egg. I never been able to get it.
I got it, I think, twice.
I got it once. Because it was an achievement for Halo 2 Vista.
It's an achievement? Really? In Halo 2 Vista? Nice.
Yeah, I need to get it on my other gamer tag, but I got it once for an achievement. Haven't been able to get it again.
I tried getting it on the Xbox. You know, you have to go through that freaking hallway and...
I actually did it. There's actually a second way you can do it. Instead of getting the Banshee, you can, if you go get the Sputnik skull and then grab rockets, there's a little medical box over by where the Scarab takes its last turn. And if you position it just right and shoot the rockets in the right place, you will actually go up and almost hit the top of that connection bridge, and you can land on top of there.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Now, you can't go too high because the top of the map is actually tall enough to where if you fall down, the timing animation for the death, you'll actually die before you even hit the platform if you go too high. So I sat there for about 3 hours until I got it.
Wow.
Wow.
So it's doable in another way, but it's really hard.
Yeah, I spent a little time on it, and I couldn't get through with the Banshee and stuff like that. It wasn't happening for me, so I gave up. Went on YouTube and watched somebody what it looked like.
It's not that great when you get it, but I always thought it was kind of cool that Bungie is willing to put a crazy Easter egg like that in the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and there was a soccer ball, too.
Oh, yeah, I remember about that.
Yep, Metropolis.
That was the original soccer ball.
Yeah.
That's that's another thing that...
got brought back into Forge.
Right, yep, Legacy.
Well, the soccer ball in Halo 2 bounced a lot more.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah, not so bouncy in Halo 3.
No. They're more like
kill you.
Well, yes, kill you pretty easily. What really sucks is you like couldn't carry the Scarab gun from level to level. That would have been cool.
Oh yeah.
Just like power through the rest of the campaign with.
I'm sure that was done purposefully.
Well, yeah, but still, it would have been pretty cool.
Mods
and. Thinking of eggs and stuff, remember the switches?
The
campaign?
Like, there's the one in Delta Halo, the, what was it called? Let me look this up real quick. There were like three switches. One of the prominent ones was on Delta Halo.
I think I remember something about that, Like, they knew that the switches existed, but they didn't know what they did, or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, you would activate the switch, and, like, nothing would happen?
Right. Oh, God, Wow, you're really bringing me back.
Secret switch. It went with something.
Didn't they finally just... like give up and say that it was like a placeholder thing Bungie just put it in there.
Yeah, they said that it wasn't anything significant and that there actually wasn't anything.
There wasn't an egg attached to it, yeah.
Hmm.
What? Oh man, I'm trying to figure out what that was. I'm trying to look it up. Not Halo 3. I want Halo 3. I want Halo 2.
I don't know if they had it in Halo 1, but I remember in Halo 2 was kind of the start of the time-sensitive Easter eggs, where on certain days, if your internal Xbox clock was
they
set
to... They have it on Halo 3 for Valhalla.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, in Halo 2, did they have that?
Yeah. It was...
I think so.
It was with the little sign on Zanzibar.
Mystery of the gate.
Do not fish.
That's what it is.
Right. Yes.
Mystery of the gate. That's what it is. That's what it was.
Okay. Mystery of the gate?
Yes.
That sounds like a great fanfic. I want to read that now. Think you got the next one, Dustin. It's all yours.
Yeah.
I get this nice little novel afterwards.
You get
it's great. I don't think I have the lung capacity.
Next we have is Maximo Knotts. He writes in, "Hello, once more, a tale from the bygone era of Halo 2. When playing that mission on the bridge," I've forgotten the name now, I think Metropolis? Same one, that one? Metropolis, the bridge.
Yeah.
"In New Mombasa, I managed to take a Banshee and fly right to the top of the bridge supports. My friend grabbed a Wraith and hid just behind the crest of the ridge on the bridge. Okay. He would then try to take out the remaining Covenant armor. I would then tell him where to fire next, just calling out the coordinates for artillery. Not a great tale, but just a reminder from the good old days. Keep up the great work and keep on fragging exams and coursework. P.S. I'm writing a piece of English literature coursework, and after listening to episode 217, I'm going to name some of the characters after the hosts of the show. So Greg, Dusty, and Brent all have got a place, but if anyone else wants a spot, just announce it in the next show." Okay. Cool enough.
That's the story. You try to take out the remaining Covenant armor. And you tell them where to fire next.
But in a Banshee, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Good old days. You know, those little things you probably had to laugh at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll... Just to mention, you know, what's actually great about that is... Halo 3 brought us the films with stories like that.
Yeah.
You can actually, you know, you tell a story to somebody. "Oh, remember when we did this?" Or I was in another game and I was with these guys and we did this and everything. And you go, "Oh, it was so fun. We were great." And the other guy's like, not even laughing. It's like,
yeah, because it doesn't believe you at all.
Yeah. Well, it just, you had to be there. And you had to, and you can't really visualize. You have to talk them through it.
Right.
But Halo 3,
right. Halo 3 you just pop in Halo 3 and it's like, "Oh, here you go." It's like, cool.
You show the camera angle and everything, which is, you know, just that was a great thing.
Well, you can change the camera angle to make it look really cool.
You don't realize how much, like, Halo 3 spoils you.
Yeah, it really does. Except it really would have been nice if they were a little more lenient on the capabilities of Forge. But we got what we got, and we have to deal with it.
Oh, well, here comes Reach. Don't worry, it's coming.
Yes. Speaking of a reach, Greg has decided to reach out and join us. Welcome, Greg.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know if you can hear me well or anything.
We can hear you. Sounds like you're in a tunnel, but...
It sounds like he's in a Motel 6.
Well, I think it's because I'm using my old mic. I just moved, for those of you who don't know. That's why we didn't record last week, actually. And I'm trying to... My mic boost at plus 20, so...
Well, you're doing okay volume-wise. Good. So, you're not having any issues there.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you. So it's probably my... I've had this... This is the one I used to record with before we had the break. So if I sound like I used to, then that's probably why.
Actually, you sound a lot different.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better or worse now?
Definitely a lot worse than it was before.
Can you hear me a lot better or worse now?
Better now.
Better.
Well, better. Kind of,
it's louder, which is a good thing.
I'm guessing it's because it's the mic on the computer. and it's actually working. Because I'm guessing when I go to line in, it's when you guys don't hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I'll switch it right now, like, for one second. Hear me? Is all this?
Potacular, the home of live troubleshooting.
Is the show live?
No, no, it's not live.
That's how we could fund the show.
Well, sorry for not attending at the time that I told everybody to show up at.
It's okay. At least you haven't missed too many of the submissions.
That's good. That's good. Who we are? You just read Maximo.
Yeah, Brent's going to read the novel of Troubled Party.
Yes, I'm going to read the extended works of J.R. Tolkien.
Oh my god. That has to be the longest one we've ever had.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Did we already go through the formalities with Keith and everything? Is he?
We did.
I guess I gotta listen back.
We gave him a thorough examination.
A body cavity search was done, yes.
Right.
I didn't know if I wrote that in the
email. But thanks for having me, Mr. Lewis.
We that was one of our first choices, actually, when we were talking about who we should get on.
Right.
Actually, that's not first, because we were like, well, we tried the other Halo podcasts out there. They didn't make any more episodes, so we figured if we got you guys on, then you guys would make more episodes. We're good to go. We got all the competition. I'm kidding.
A competition?
I'm kidding.
Oh, you guys are inspiration.
we should try if you guys want on off of this. Oh, speaking of that, Ryan just signed on to the other Halo podcast host on the Skype. If you haven't, you'd be able to see it. Ryan 14.
Let's try getting him on Ryan. Another one.
Oh, Ryan, I know Ryan.
Do you want to just call him and just see if hey man,
are you just gonna start inviting people now to this call?
Just send him the show notes. We're on Troubled Party. Read this.
Yeah.
Oh, that would suck on his part.
He'd be like, "What? I just woke up, man. Come on."
Dude, I honestly feel like I should be getting like some sort of voice actor work payment for this, because I mean this is reading an audiobook.
I'm kind of reading it, and I think you really need to paraphrase or something. I mean,
it's kind of hard to paraphrase.
I'm gonna pick some of my favorite lines here. Johnson got a box of smokes. Cortana didn't really have anything good happen. She forgot her chastity belt.
It's kind of like when you go into Word, and then you have that, and I don't know if 2007 has this, but it used to be that old function that you could, like, what some people do to write a book report. They would, like, copy somebody, and then they would hit paraphrase on it, and then it would, like, change the sentences to nothing you could read. It would just be completely horrible.
Oh, man. That sounds great.
Copy, like, an outro, we should just copy this and just see what, like,
that sounds like if they tried to, like, do an audiobook, but instead of, you know, hiring a voice actor, they just had Microsoft Sam read it.
Oh,
dude. That'd be great.
Oh, no.
Johnson got a box of smokes. Moral is smoking kills. Coughs. Foreshadowing.
We actually might ask him to be on the show.
I'm sorry. I'm reading through this, and oh, my God.
Yeah, they get pretty bad sometimes. Except we've never had one this long before.
True.
So this.
I have literally read fan fiction that is shorter than this. No joke.
Who is this person?
Troubled Party. Have you ever heard of him?
Sorry for you, man.
Well, paraphrase if you want, and then we'll move on as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I just realized why I don't take submissions on my show.
Exactly.
Yeah, you like that now, don't you?
You're like, oh man, I'm glad we didn't start doing submissions. Oh.
It was
it's a relief.
Half of your show is about grammar and misspelling.
Oh, no, we write
about
we really
palaces and are in your submissions.
We relish on really cracking on grammar.
Now, like, if you'll notice, I improv grammar. There are times when there is a word that is intentionally misspelled, and I read it correctly.
Yes, and it actually makes for a good. It makes for a good show when you do
it
that.
It makes for a better show. I don't like it when you just ride this guy for like messing up.
If it's a little mistake, but if it's a blatant mistake.
If it's little, I mean, everyone's going to mess up every now and then. But if someone's putting Z's at the end of every word, I mean.
Well, see, here's the issue I have. If they're doing that, they don't need to have their submission on the show.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
This is going to be our next. We're going to do another intern, and the intern's going to read all these and accept orders.
and get me coffee? Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Good job.
It's like your test, read this in under a minute. Clearly.
I wonder if we actually, like, if I called somebody with Google voicemail, and if I played the show, would it go word for word?
What is this?
Anywho.
Great, there's another.
Is this submission actually about Halo 2?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I understand that in the first sentence he writes.
Now, we lost him.
Well.
We lost.
That was Greg, folks. Turns out that colonoscopy finally got to him.
Oh, okay. Well, sound like he was speaking from within his anus, actually.
Yeah. he was calling in during his colonoscopy.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
He was talking out of his asshole.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Man, I'm glad I don't have to get a colonoscopy today.
Yeah, or any day.
Yeah, indeed.
As much of that as you want, go ahead and read through it, and then
okay.
Paraphrase.
Think of all the hype we just did, we have to just read the entire freaking thing.
Yeah. Just like round robin. If you need me to, I can read this whole thing. I'm just saying, in the interest of time.
We can popcorn reading it. You would do that.
Trust me, I have read longer verses than this in class because, like, in English class, I actually enjoyed. Like doing the podcast voice and just reading through books and stuff. I mean, I get through it, but it's going to take a while. Like, do people want to listen to 5 minutes of me reading this guy? That's the question.
I mean, you have the.
I think it's all in the way you read it.
You have.
Do people want to listen to 5 minutes of me? Period. That's the bigger question.
I've already been listening to you for 3 hours. I think it's okay.
Well, if you're going to read the whole thing, I'm at least going to go grab a drink of water.
All right. Make a sandwich.
Make a sandwich. Hey, Greg, how about them sandwiches?
They're pretty good. Hey, you know, actually, if you guys ever use Cha-Cha, the texting thing, you ask a question?
No.
My girlfriend texted it, who is G. Lewis, and it texted her back, the king of sandwiches.
Maybe he is the king of sandwiches. I have no doubt in my mind that there's probably a small business. There's probably a tiny little sandwich shop called G. Lewis's. And he touts himself as the king of sandwiches.
My wife calls me the king of sandwiches, actually.
Oh, does she?
I make a good sandwich. I don't know about you guys, but I make a great sandwich.
Where you live at, Keith? Where you live at?
New York. King of sandwich area.
That's what they call Greg, the King of Queens.
If I ever got to make my way up there, I'm going to need to get one of these sandwiches.
Speaking of sandwiches, are you going to PAX Prime this year, Greg? We going to go together?
How'd you make that connection?
Where's that at?
Seattle. It's up in Seattle.
Yeah, we'll be there. Me and Brent, we're going to be hanging out in the booth.
Hanging out, yeah. Hanging out in the Potacular booth, selling t-shirts. It's going to be great. We're going to be chilling with the Rooster Teeth guys, Mega 64 dudes.
If you guys go, I got to go now.
Let's do it. Let's make a weekend.
I've been looking into it. I can get round trip airfare and like hotel rooms for 4 nights for like $450.
When is
it? Whoa, hold on, Brent. Hold on. How you doing this? What black market credit card do you have?
Travelocity, dude, for real. I mean, it's not a great hotel, but I mean, it's like a, it's like the Motel 6 that's next to SeaTac.
I'm sure, Greg. I'm sure it's not as bad as your Best Buy perks.
Yeah, we'll use your Best Buy perks, dude. If you're getting free, what is it? What do you get? HDTV, like you get satellite television for free, like you get leasing for free. Didn't they like co-sign on your like apartment lease or something?
Oh boy. I got percentages off for being a preferred employee.
25% off at Condoms R Us or whatever. Condoms.
No, we're not going there. We're not going.
The kids should.
Dude, we're going there if you guys come to Dallas again.
Oh jeez.
I think this is gonna be the most down.
I'm
sorry. We're getting into end jokes now. We're getting into end jokes. We need to leave this and start reading Trouble Party, because if not, we're going to be up at like 3 in the morning.
I got class in the morning, too.
All right.
Class in the morning. All
right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And now to read from the Fabled Tales of Troubled Party. Hey, it's Troubled Party, your flight attendant here, to bring you the super fantastical basic rundown of the Halo 2 campaign for all you newbies that haven't played the game. This should be read first in order to allow the newer fans to understand the context of the other submissions. This also shoots for the longest submission ever, Smiley.
No kidding!
You ain't kidding. Okay, that was a test. If the person reading this said Smiley Face or flat out ignored it instead of saying :D, then he must give up rank and pass his title on to the next man in line. Well, I'm not going to do that, so you can kiss my ass. If not, then you have passed my test and now get to savor the amazing story that is about to unfold. Okay, so you see this sexy elite, a.k.a. Cap'n Splitjaw, walk into High Charity with some sexy golden armor. You could see he was sad, but he was trying to explain to the prophets, which are basically old grandpas in their wheelchairs that float, that the Covenant race was not at fault when the humans took over the ring and destroyed it. But the grandpas decided that he was wrong and called him a heretic, and took away his pretty gold armor, which was fashionably unwise, seeing what they were wearing. Somebody please call what not to wear. Anyway, they blame him that the great journey would happen with him. Then it shows that the Master Chief, with Sergeant Johnson, getting medals. Lord Hood gives them medals as we are introduced to Commander Miranda Keyes, the hottest... No, I'm joking. Commander...
Wow!
daughter who received an award for her father's behalf. I think it was most bad way to die from Master Chief, which must have been traumatizing knowing Master Chief was next to her. But she played it off well. Guess it's a woman thing. Do you know about that, G?
Yeah, it's... Let's do it again.
Okay. Then the Covenant come to a party crashers and Mater Chief didn't want any of that, so he killed them. Then took a sea urchin bomb and blew it up. However, in the urchin explosion, a Covenant cruiser takes the grandpas of regret to New Bombasa in Kenya. I'm assuming the grandpa regrets that he could never fun fast and plans to kill the Kenyans. That's another story. So Master Chief heads to Earth and kicks butts in the best level in Halo history, and then fights a spidery thing. Don't worry, taking the spider. He made a
spider
banshee
thingy.
Ooh.
Just
so I do believe that is the best level.
Okay.
This is the best. This is keep going.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. But then Grandpa of Regret knew Master Chief was coming and space jumped, which is like teleporting, except everything dies around you. Poor Kenyans couldn't run fast enough. Curse you, Grandpa of Regret. Curse you. Then the Master Chief gets pissed and decides to take out the Grandpa of Regret while Johnson got lost in his walkthrough and needs to find the index, which helps him get to the next Halo, which is exactly the same as the first. I guess the forerunners like to control C and control V, which is copy and paste for the less technical among you. We meet up with the Hierarchs, which say he isn't a heretic, but still blame him for Halo's downfall. They then offer him a job, and you know what they say. Give a man a job, and he'll work the rest of his life. You give him job a man, and you have accomplished nothing. The job is the position of the Arbiter, which is basically a hitman, so they tell him to kill a heretic that likes holograms a little too much, which is a criminal offense. Then the Splitjaw meets 343 Guilty Spark, which suffers from multiple personality disorder, but Captain Splitjaw liked him anyway. Then some other boring stuff happens, so the Continent rush to the new Halo to answer Grandpa Regret's call, although we all know that he should have just texted, but seeing as a grandpa, he barely knows how to work the dang thing. The Master Chief got there first, however, and kills him by punching him in the face while riding on his wheelchair, so Miranda Keys needs to give her medal back. Grandpa Regret clearly deserves it now. Anyways, after that, Master Chief meets Tentacle Boy, and Cortana starts to feel the unease of not bringing her chastity belt. Cough, foreshadowing cough. Grandpa Regret's death makes the alien races pissed off, and they take the elites and tell them that the years of warding the humans into piles of ash is not good enough anymore, and decide to give the job to the fantastic Jerome impersonator, Tartarus, who holds a banhammer beta that duels as a magnet. Chick magnet, that is. Boom. I don't get it. Is he trying to say
boom, yeah, boom, boom.
Splitjaw is ordered to find Halo's index, along with Johnson, who can't seem to flip pages fast enough. Then Tartarus tells Splitjaw that he is supposed to kill off the elite species for outfashioning the rest of the Covenant, as he throws Splitjaw down a hole, just like the This Is Sparta moment. Then Tentacle Boy introduces Master Chief and Splitjaw, and explains to Splitjaw that the Great Journey will kill all the Flood. Yes, all their noms, humans, Covenant, hot dogs, Oreos, you name it, it's gone. Then Gravemind sends Splitjaw and Master Chief to stop the Great Journey. Master Chief looks to find the Grandpa of Truth and leaves Cortana behind, although you really don't need her. All she is an overly snobby version of Navi, and we all know how great she was to be. Anyway, she said she will explode High Charity if Tartarus activates the new Halo. Splitjaw gets some Covenant to kick some brute butt and eventually meet up with Tartarus and tell him that the world needs now is love, sweet love, because it's the only thing that they're just too little of. Tartar Sauce, however, says screw that and activates the ring, while Johnson and Master Chief shake and bake and kill Tartarus, while Miranda takes the blue uranium key out of the machine. But instead of turning off the rings, they just go to the safe, statish place and need to be activated at the Ark. Hood asks what the Master Chief what is going to do, and he says finish the fight. At this point, I threw my controller through my parents' TV and yelled towards the heavens in an angry rage, why must you do this to me? Then I went on live and lost what I learned in school. Smiley face. On the upside, Master Chief went on the Xbox 360 with record-breaking sales. Moral is if you're a cyborgy person with guns, you rock. Splitjaw learned to cope with his facial structure and is now working for Vogue magazine. Moral is if life gives you lemons, you squirt them into life's eyes and tell them to get it right or bad things will happen. Johnson got a box of smokes. Moral is smoking kills, cough, foreshadowing. Tartarus's personal diary was found by his time-traveling son and held the secret to tartar sauce, which he told before the bat. Moral is, banhammers don't get you paid, then they get you laid. Cortana didn't really have anything good happen. She forgot her chastity belt. Cough, cough. Moral is, you can figure it out. Grandpa Mercy got to live for mercy. Moral is, you choose your name wisely. And my moral is, you have to write a paragraph, make sure that it's funny, or else everyone will cry, and no one wants that. Bleep bloop, achievement unlocked, world's longest submission. I deserve that achievement, in fact. Trouble, party out.
Are you kidding me? That was awesome. Enough for you that you had to read it.
People listen
to it. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
My mind hurts.
I think. Go take an ice bath or something.
I know. I need to take a cold shower.
Yeah, your brain's
all that Cortana talk got me all hot and bothered.
We'll just say you don't have to read any more submissions for the night.
Oh no, I'm ready now. I'm all up.
When you read the last five, go for it. If you're all not... right.
No, I'm not reading the next five, but I'll read in order.
Okay.
Who's up next? Is it Keith?
The next one.
Keith? Is that me?
Greg?
Yep. Go for it.
Ready?
I'm going to talk about it.
All right, before I even read, though, that last one, I'm sorry, that was epic.
That was, actually.
That was pretty cool.
I'm sorry, he was pretty good. Pretty good, I mean, very comedic.
And I'm sure everyone that listened just laughed.
I know, they laughed it up.
I think that should be printed somewhere in Halo, another Halo Evolutions book or something.
The show notes, at least.
Yeah.
If you ever wanted to, like, a plot synopsis of Halo 2, just read that.
You know what I'm going
to
do?
That needs to be.
Well, I want to send this. I'm going to send this to that exact submission. I'm going to send this to – I'm going to send it to Hottie McBloggy. I'm going to tell her to post it.
Should we clean it up first?
Go for it.
No. No, for her side? You don't have to clean it up.
Yeah, not for
No,
her.
I'm just saying for Troubled Party's sake.
No.
Just to like just to save him the pain.
I mean, there was only one bad thing in there that really caught me.
There was a little bit of stuff. But I mean, it wasn't awful. It wasn't the worst submission we've ever gotten by. I mean, as far as grammatic and spelling errors.
Grammatin.
Oh man, I'm all tongue tied now.
He was totally rambling, like he was really going off. But I think it was. I think that needs to be shown.
The world needs to know.
The world needs to know about that. That was incredible.
What happened to your day?
Well, it needs to be like. People need to see someone's take on the Halo 2 campaign. Like that.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
That, I don't know. That is definitely classic, I think.
Classic and unique.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Okay.
I think good adventure.
I'll read the Gamer 28.
Okay, go for it.
Hey, Potak. It's, well, you know, with a Halo 2 campaign submission... I'm thinking while I'm doing a submission, I might ramble on like I am now. So right, I'm going to say something right now. Your submissions, you guys, they love to ramble.
Yeah, yes, they do. And they love to keep on fragging trucks.
Yeah.
Just maybe the way we read it. Most of you are probably thinking, get on with it. Still rambling. Moving on. So I was on some level that I had completely forgotten what it's called, but I got so far out of the map that when the hunter shot at me and the shot hit the barrier in front of me and stopped, another time when I broke...
Where are you going with this there, bud?
I know, it's just... another time... I'm not good at reading anyway.
It's not your...
Another time when I broke into a wraith on the level with all the snipers in the forest and a lot of landforms and destroyed Sergeant Johnson and his Gauss Warthog. He yelled something that sounded Spanish and died. I shot everyone else, and somehow I just blew up. I might submit another one. I might submit another one, which if I do, you'll read it before this one, because if I have more, but I can't remember.
That post made no sense,
but it was hilarious.
I'm pretty aware that like most of the people that submit these posts do it while they're doing something else.
Yeah,
they're in class or something.
Or
not focused,
doing it on the toilet, or they're doing it in class on their iPhone.
Yeah, they're like sitting in math class, just like what can I submit today?
That's good stuff. You know what? These are so good. I might start doing submissions.
It's not your fault. It's generally the fault of the submitter.
Right.
Do I get the next one?
Sure.
Go for it.
All right, we got Kyle Nichols. So I'm guessing that's how you say it. And I'm going to say name, just so you guys know for future reference.
Nichols.
Don't tell us your name. I guess the gamer tag is Names Twister. But anyway,
I don't remember names.
I started playing through the Halo 2 campaign again on normal, and just like Halo, Combat Evolved to Halo 3, once I get to the first level with the Flood, I just want to cut my Xbox off and quit playing. I kind of agree, but I like the library. Right now, I'm on a level where you play as the Arbiter, and you're on the big floating Forerunner elevator going underground. This level is such a pain, but I still love it.
Floating elevator? What?
I think this one he's going up. That big elevator's turning. It's...
Oh, okay.
Then we go under the lake then.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Flood constantly jumping down on me from above. Me always trying to predict the locations and failing every time. Some games are frustrating in a good way, and Halo 2 is certainly one of those games.
That reminds me... when you get to that part, I tried to, like on the sides, you can jump on the little platforms. I tried to go all the way down to where the platform was, but there was actually a death barrier.
Oh.
Like 10 feet above where the landing was. Like I managed to get down there without dying, but there was a death barrier. It's like, no!
There's some kind of load before you get to it.
Well, I always try to... Like, when I'm going back and replaying, like, for, like, when I reinstall my computer, I'll go back and try to play through campaigns as quickly as possible, just get through it and get all the access back. So, like, for Halo 2 Vista, I tried to jump down there with a quick run, and turns out you can't really do that because of the Death Bear.
Why would you want to? Oh, so you can save, you can keep the save?
Well, so, so I can just get through it quicker and unlock the levels. It's a speed run, really.
How fast you managed to beat it?
Well, I was doing it on heroic because normal's too easy.
Normal's too easy for me, but Fumo plays on easy.
it probably took me a few hours.
Okay. I can't say I've ever tried to go fast through them. But thanks for the submission. Names?
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next one we have is from DeStef117. He writes, "Hey guys, it's DeStef117 with the Halo 2 campaign Tale from the Foxhole." Yes. "I was playing on Cairo Station, the first mission. I was looking out the big glass wall in the first hangar and was watching the station explode, and my game lagged out, and when I could see it again, I was outside in space and could walk around. It was really cool. Keep on fragging noobs who live on purple Twinkies and eat fart juice." Oh, here we go. "Eat fart juice out of their belly button. That also that kill anything that is long and eatable."
Great. I thought we could get through an entire show without one of those.
I thought we could too, and obviously we didn't. That was the only one in here, and he had to do it.
Yep. Oh man.
My job.
Well, he lagged out in a campaign.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting.
That is weird.
Maybe we should have caught it right there.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. Maybe that was the indicator that we shouldn't have kept reading that.
Yeah. That's okay.
Oh well.
I need to eat some fart juice right now.
I know.
Drink some fart juice.
Oh, God. Alright, moving on to Bomb 116.
You got a nice short one here.
I know. It feels good for once. It's like a relief. "Hey, guys, it's my first submission for the regular show. Ever since I have been old enough to comprehend Halo, I have wondered how the Flood survived the Halo event. If you could answer this, it would be much appreciated. Keep on fragging noobtubers with red dots."
Yeah, mm-hmm. Am I supposed to be taking this?
"The Flood survived the Halo
event." Well, they did.
That wasn't the Flood in its entirety.
But it was a good majority of...
Oh, no, I know what happened.
The Halo event, you mean the hold on. The Halo event, you mean the first event that the Foreigners did the Halo? That they triggered the Halo, or... I think that's what he's asking.
I think it wasn't the kind of explanation for that is that they kept like research specimens or something.
Well,
yes, on the Halos themselves,
which isn't that smart. That was like the smartest move in the face of the universe.
But they acted on the Halos once before. But
no, that's what he's talking about.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the Forerunners put research specimens on the Halos,
right?
And they did die.
No. The Gravemind survived, though. I don't think...
Well, no one knows for sure that, actually. Correctly. The Gravemind supposedly died, actually.
Well, what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
We're going into the whole Halo canon again with the
on the end of Halo 3, I think.
I think it's worth talking about.
I don't know. I did research on this when I did my whole terminal thing website back in the day. And granted, I wish I could remember all of this, but I'm going to try and recall as much as I can. But there was the war between the Forerunners and the Flood, and the Forerunners actually sent out an AI. Does anyone remember?
No.
Mendicant Bias.
Yes, Mendicant Bias.
Yep.
who actually was persuaded by the Gravemind, kind of flipped sides and went back and kind of attacked the Forerunners, kind of behind their backs. And the Forerunners kind of had to give in and escape to, I believe they retreated back to the Ark, to the Shield World, or whatever their Shield World is. And they activated the Halos. But I think by that time, the Gravemind had retreated to such a point where he was able to preserve himself in that event.
Yeah.
I think that he just, I mean, I don't think it was him, but the Flood.
Well,
and
I mean,
he their stuff, and I just think when they came back, when the Covenant let him out.
I think so, because it seemed like he had the knowledge of the War of the Forerunners, and...
Okay.
And if the knowledge was genetic, which I highly doubt it was.
Can I tackle this one?
Go for it.
Go for it.
All right. Okay. No one knows exactly for sure if the Gravemind died in the first the Halo event, the first firing of the Halos. No one knows if it was that exact Gravemind that died, the one that you know from the first Halo War, you know, the first Gravemind that formed. As far as the memories are concerned, hold on a second. I'm sorry, I just got distracted. As far as the memories are concerned, even if the Gravemind dies, the memories are still conserved in all whatever remaining Flood species remain. Those memories are still preserved. They're only collected and used when a Gravemind is formed. So everything that happened prior to even before the Flood arrived in our galaxy, they have memories from everything. They have everything stored. It doesn't get lost.
Telepathic memory.
Well, it's telepathic. A hive mind.
Yes, it's a hive mind and it's telepathic. And that's why when the Master Chief in Halo 3, you get him all, you know, he gets all woozy and stuff like that. There's so much telepathic things going on with the Flood, that's definitely transferred from Gravemind to Gravemind. And when a new Gravemind formed on the Delta Halo on Halo 2.
That would make sense.
That's why he knows everything. It's not the same Gravemind. And I asked this.
Really? I never made that connection.
Well, I didn't either, actually. I was actually in the same position you were. I asked the guys from Ascended Justice. Again, I asked them about that. And they actually told me what I'm telling you now. And if they say it, it's definitely... I just got to take
their word.
They're
probably more knowledgeable than any of us here.
Yep.
But they pretty much described it that way, that how the Flood is... the memories and all that stuff is transfers. It's not the same Gravemind. There was Flood that did survive the first Halo event, but they only survived on Shield Worlds and the Halos themselves.
Right.
Otherwise, the rest of the universe got wiped out.
Was there ever mentioned to how... Do infection forms just don't eat, or how do they survive?
The infection forms. How do they? Oh, you mean once they're infection forms, what do they do then?
No, I mean like the ones that carry the disease, the little dudes, the little popcorn.
Oh, those suckers, those little bubbles.
How did they not die? I mean, they weren't eating nothing for a long time.
Oh, I don't know, actually. That's, you know, how do they survive just like that? The spores.
Yeah, because the Halorines only knocked out sentient life, and the spores at that point I don't think were necessarily...
considered sentient. Yeah.
Right, and I think there are also small kind of like microorganism Flood things.
Yeah.
That were kind of like maybe part of the hive mind, kind of on a lower level, but were... I guess technically small enough to really not be wiped out.
Well, you know what it is? If they just exist, say they exist, or maybe they don't die out, maybe they incubate, maybe they just hang around, but they only can, like, the Flood can only prosper or grow when they have anything of a certain mass.
Right.
So if those things, whether they hang around, like, little, and I guess they do, because they just sit there on these rings from hundreds of thousands of years, still alive, not without anybody on them, or you know, maybe that's something that hasn't been answered yet. Maybe Oni has the question, the answer.
That's what I was about to say. That's a question only Oni has the answer to.
But you know, that's what exists out there right now as far as information. And
see, I think that
the only reason why I was able to talk intelligently about that is because I just did with my last show and those guys I just talked to. Otherwise, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
See, I think this offers up a good opportunity for Halo to do a crossover with Star Wars, where they basically answer that question. See, Anakin Solo from the Star Wars Extended Universe.
Oh, no.
He went back in time, but he didn't back in time. He jumped dimensions. So now he's in the Halo universe, but he actually fed the little infection forms like beef jerky.
And midichlorians.
Beef jerky kept them alive for the thousands upon thousands of years that they were really waiting
jerky
on the halos.
Midichlorians.
Yeah, the midichlorians. But the midichlorians are in the beef jerky.
Yep. That's how the halos stay alive.
But see, the reason that Anakin Solo had to do that is because he knew that those events would ultimately lead to the Spartan program being created. And then the Spartan program would go on to create the Master Chief, and Master Chief has to jump back into the Star Wars universe to help Anakin Solo finish off the Empire.
That's even better than Trouble Party submission right there.
Nah, it's not better. It's canon. It's can guarantee canon. It.
Oh, yeah. We're just speechless now.
Mike,
just like, oh, we keep losing.
Have one more. Or red bomb?
Whose turn is it? Is it mine?
I believe it is. Is it? Yeah, just go for it.
All right. Hey, Lone Soldier 332. Hey, it's Lone Soldier 332 with a tale from Halo 2. I was playing on the level Metropolis on Heroic. I was originally planning on getting the Scarab gun near the end of the level, but something much more epic happened instead. I had taken the Scorpion. What's up?
I said, yay, we love epic.
Oh, yeah, I love epic. I had taken the Scorpion across the bridge, and I just killed the Marines that follow you in order to prevent them from destroying the last Banshee. I destroyed all the vehicles and left the last Banshee and let it follow me. This is deja vu, because this is what I did, too. Normally, it just shoots you and then just turns around, but instead, it boosted into my chest. Just at the last second, I pressed X and boarded the Banshee. I survived. And the wind blew the Banshee out of the tunnel and back outside. I jumped out of the Banshee, and like a bullet, I flew all the way back across the bridge in less than 5 seconds.
No.
I died before I hit the ground, but I was laughing and shouting louder than I ever at an epic Master Chief bullet. There's my Halo 2 tale. Keep up the good work on the show. Keep on sitting down.
That's well, awesome. I am sitting down, so.
Yeah, thank
that's,
you.
That's also an annoying part of that level, is if you try to get the Banshee up there, the barrier will push you all the way back out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that he made all the way back across the bridge in less than 5 seconds.
Yeah, maybe it just like launched him or something.
Yeah. Imagine if he didn't die where he would land up. Like you're back at where you started on the previous level. Oh, dang it, not again.
I did all those things that he did too. That and, but anyway,
yeah,
just bad memory for me.
I haven't quite done it yet, so I can't really say anything about it too much.
Epic.
Epic indeed. Okay, well, we've covered almost 2.5 hours.
I say we did a good farewell to Halo 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of
at
three,
least a
so
fiction.
This is right. One of three, so we got two more of these to go. I'm not sure what to really expect now. I hope they're not as this long, or at least don't start this late. Yeah.
We got off topic a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a wee little Ted.
Yeah, just a little bit of Star Wars.
And we had the 15-minute novel.
Yeah. Was that 15 minutes?
No. No, it wasn't.
I was about to say, it didn't feel like 15.
15 minutes is a long time.
That is a long time.
Five to 10, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to... That's definitely a good... That's got to be made known.
Okay. If you say so, then...
If it's okay with... I mean, I don't know what kind of permission I need, but...
You got it. You got it. That's all you need. Yeah, so Greg dropped somehow somewhere. Not sure what exactly happened. So not here at the moment, but that is all we have for this episode. And thank you guys for tuning in. Sorry it wasn't live. We're still experiencing, well, I'm my internet today has been really messed up. So I'm sorry for the lack of live. I know we keep on promising live shows next after next. Hopefully next week, Monday, we will have the show live on live stream. And we will take it from there. We'll just keep updating on Twitter. And maybe actually this weekend I might actually try to make it establish a live connection and just see if it can get actually working. So, look forward to that next week. We are going to be doing another Halo 2 episode, and this time we're going to look at a multiplayer Tales. This can be Tales from maybe clans you were a part of, especially for some of the old members, if you were in any of the old Wreck clans. I know, Brent, you've had quite a bit to say about that.
I was in the pro clan. So if you're in the pro clans, you need to write in.
Yes. talk about those. Talk about matchmaking, glitching, any of the stuff that was memorable to you for multiplayer. Go ahead and send it in. And we will read it on the show. With that said, send in your comments, questions, and submissions to submissions@podtacular.com. Our show is community-centered based on your submissions, so be sure to submit. Watch podtacular.com for an invitation to submit your stuff for next week's show.
Thanks for having
me. Brent?
Oh, yeah. Be sure to check out our website, podtacular.com, and while you're there, come drop us a line in the forums and get involved with the community. Greg? Oh, that's right. He dropped. Thanks to everyone that contributes to Podtacular by dedicating time to lead events, helping out with the bills by donating through PayPal, follow us on Twitter and Facebook, or subscribing to the show on iTunes and Zune Marketplace. Check out the other great shows on the GamerCast Network, including Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, the GCN Video Game Show, Post Game Report, and Destructoid.
And while we have him here, the Running Riot podcast.
Yes, indeed. Actually, forget all those other podcasts. Just go listen to Running Riot immediately.
Well, don't forget. Well, there's only two podcasts, yeah. So, only two.
We're going to do our weekly plug for Drunk Tank. Well, we already did that at the beginning of the show. So, I guess a little...
Did we plug Drunk Tank?
Yeah, we already did.
Oh, I know we did, but do we have to?
Like, no,
what incentive do we have for plugging Drunk Tank?
No, because we somehow always get onto the topic of Drunk Tank, and we always plug it somewhere.
Actually, because that podcast has influenced me so much, I should probably plug it every week, because I love Drunk Tank.
Well, I mean, it's just that we talk about it almost every week.
That's
so it's
a
like,
plug right there.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's a great show. We just need to have a podcast where we talk about Drunk Tank.
Well, actually, I'm thinking...
this week on Drunk Tank.
Since we're
so
moving...
Meta.
the customs into the Tales, and we're having that extra show now that's supposed to be random frags.
The Drunk Tank show?
Yeah. Or something equivalent where we have all the random frags and we just talk random stuff. Because, I mean, there are certain people
in the... It's not like we do anything else anyway. It's going to be great.
Well, yeah.
This time it's legitimized because it's going to be the random show.
Yes. Yes. Where all the random frags will be instead of littered out through every single show. So, and that'll probably be the longest show out of the rotation. But
I've noticed that random frags aren't as random as they are just absurd.
And they're the keep on fragging trucks, which, I mean,
quit it.
Here's the lowdown on the fragging trucks, guys. There's
just quit it.
Well, not necessarily quit it. Keep it short and simple. Nothing too long. If it's more than 3 lines in the submission window that you get, or 2 lines if you're typing up in like Gmail or Word, it's long enough. Okay? So just leave it short and simple, sweet. I mean, make it funny.
If your final sentence is longer than 4 words, I will not read it.
Well,
you heard it right
I refuse
there.
To read it from now on.
Okay.
Keep on fragging trucks.
That means all I have to do is like...
No, I'm joking. I'll read it.
Option I to it. That's the last sentence. But yes, just try to keep them short and simple and nothing too out there, dramatic. Yeah. What were we looking for?
Be cool.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cool. I guess.
Be yourself.
Let me be myself. Okay.
I think we should end the show by singing "We Are the World" in unison.
Well, quick update.
What do you guys think?
The new one or the old one?
Quick update.
I haven't heard the new one. I don't think. Is it? Do they have different lyrics?
It's somewhat. No, actually, the same lyrics, I think.
Well, I don't know the song, and I actually have a quick...
Except it's in harmonic or something, or the harmonizer.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant...
Yeah, the world.
Auto-tune.
We are the world.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay, but yeah, quick announcement. We are in the middle of moving the site over to a different host. We're actually moving back to our old host, DreamHost.
Oh yeah.
For a dedicated VPS, and hopefully that will be more favorable to an IRC, and everything will actually load appropriately now. I'm slowly moving stuff over, testing stuff out, making sure everything's gonna work. The final move is probably gonna happen sometime next week, like Monday, Tuesday-ish. I got a lot of work ahead of me this weekend, making sure everything is in order and ready. So, along with that, we are actually for the initial move, everything's going to be the same, but the themes are going to be tweaked a little bit differently, and to promote Halo Reach, and hopefully with that we can attract a few more members to the site. And hopefully other few things will follow along with that. Keep on following us on the homepage on Podtacular. I know there's quite a few guys that are just on the forums. You got to check out the front page too. There are separate things that go on the front page that aren't in the forums.
Dustin, there's something I need to ask you.
Yes.
There's something I need to inquire. With this change in hosting services...
Yes.
Will the front page load faster than, like right now it takes me literally like 45 seconds to load the front page
on my
broadband connection.
I know what you mean. Yes, it will load faster. It will load a lot faster.
Now, how much is this going to cost the listeners? Are we looking at $5, $10?
We are looking at no change in hosting because we are actually dropping Libsyn hosting and going to host everything on the site because we have unlimited storage and we're going to manage it all on our end.
That's right, dear listeners. It's free to you from us.
Well,
Your friendly host at podtacular.com. Actually, it's out of Dustin's pocket. I feel like I need to be paying for some of this, actually.
I'm still paying $24 a month.
I'll chip in. I will chip in my one-third if Greg will chip in his two-thirds. And then you can keep your money because you've been paying for it for too long. You deserve a rest on your pocketbook.
Ever since we picked it up, I've been paying for it. So
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, the nice thing about this now is like my site is shared on there. So actually, my site duststorm.org and Podtacular are under the same hosting.
Now, what can listeners find on duststorm.org?
You can find right now. I have a couple video blogs up, and I have a couple rants. I actually have a topic I'm working on. When I went home over spring break, I managed to crash my parents' internet.
Okay.
Story on that will follow in the next couple of days on that.
I think that should be an outtake. I think that we should talk about it like right after this show.
Okay, we can. We can. And I will attach it to the post. And also, I have a couple machinima ideas, and I actually, since I moved my site over to DreamHost as well from a different hosting, so I cleaned out the forums and it's starting anew again, and there's a couple machinima ideas that I have. Hopefully, I can get those out soon. There's a couple of Podtacular people that have been involved with that, and I have a whole machinima series I have ideas for, which I've been announcing.
If you need a voice actor, you know where to look.
Yes.
Mr. Gregory James Lewis.
You're one of the first. But, yes, we'd like to thank Keet again for coming on from the Riot podcast. And tell us again where you can find that.
TheRunningRiot.com.
Cool.
The Running Riot. Make sure it's the, not Running Riot. Yeah.
Not D-A Running Riot.
Da.
TheRunningRiot.com, yo.
Da-da-da-da. The Brazizzle, the Brazizzle.
That might actually be a song. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds pretty awesome. TheRunningRiot.com.
Okay.
What? Oh, it's a good thing Greg's not in here right now.
I know. he would just start freestyling here.
Oh, yes. Yes, he would.
It's late.
Break out the auto tune. It's going to be great.
And this is thanks to me looking at The Running Riot. We actually have a new shirt design contest up in the forums right now for a new shirt design for Podtacular.
I buy it.
The winning design will actually get a prize. There's a couple of prizes up for grabs. I'm not sure of which they are at the moment. I believe one of them is a Geometry Wars code, Geometry Wars 2 code. There's a code for another game as well.
Ooh.
So.
And 4 free episodes of Podtacular.
Ooh.
Well, of course, yes.
Of course.
There will be a two picks, a staff pick and a community pick, both of which will be designed and offered in the Spreadshirt store once the contest is over.
Ooh.
You remember back when we had in our, I don't remember if it was Spreadshirt or not. It might have been Cafe Press, but we, back when the original Podtacular store had pink underwear that.
I'm a gay.
Tidy whiteys that say Gay Marine on it.
I'm a Gay Marine, yes.
Yep.
That's still in there, I think.
Are they still in there?
I think.
Can I buy those today?
It's an old entry. I'd have to ask Crunk and see if
he. That sounds like the greatest college prank of all time, running around in those.
Oh,
nice. Only those.
Oh. Nice. Oh. Okay, no.
Very nice.
No. Nah. Bad images in my head.
This is incriminating. No, I would never do that, actually. I lack the mortal fortitude to do that. I'd be too embarrassed.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Well,
thanks to everyone for listening in. Sorry for the 2-week delay. Did have a good break.
Yeah.
Can I just say something about PAX East?
Yes,
please do.
So so this weekend, or I don't know when this will be.
This will be
posted.
This will be released by Friday.
Okay, by Friday. So all right. So that Saturday, I'm going to be live at PAX East. So the Running Riot PaxEast.com will be live at PAX East. I'll be announcing tomorrow, which will be a Thursday, but you won't hear it till, unless you go back in time with a DeLorean. Some garbage in the...
Got to hit 88.
But anyway, for Saturday, you'll see it. So when you hear this Saturday, go to therunningriot.com, hear about details. We're going live. So when we're going live, you have to follow us on Twitter. All the information will be right there at therunningriot.com.
Excellent.
Nice.
I'm still so jealous. I want to go to PAX East so bad.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I sell T-shirts, too.
Cool. Might have to get one of those.
just for fun.
Yeah, of course.
I've got a feeling they might sell better than our I'm a Gay Marine panties.
I don't know.
Yeah, they might.
I might add that to mine. Okay. I might steal that idea.
Okay, dokie.
Dustin's going to sue. He'll do it.
Nah.
He'll do it.
I'm too nice.
Nice. We got to pay for that sweet hosting service.
Yeah, no kidding. Wait, what hosting service? Okay. Well, thanks again for listening, guys. This has been episode 220 of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo podcast. I am Dust Storm.
I am Brent Gamer.
I'm Keith from the Running Riot.
G. Lewis, I'm a girl.
I have a feeling you're going to do that again. Again.
My name is G. Lewis. I wear ribbons in my hair. And I want to kiss all the boys.
It seems like it comes so natural.
Oh, man. You remember that? You remember that, Dustin? You know where that's from? That's from Red vs. Blue. It's from my favorite character.
This week on the GamerCast Network. The end begins with episode 95 of the Post Game Report. This week it's all about God of War 3. On Sarcastic Gamer Pink, Harlequin and Jax cover the Blur Beta, good movie games, and male and female male. Halo 2, what's that? Podtacular takes a look back at its roots before Halo 2 on Live finally kicks the can. Discover the community that brings you all these great podcasts and more at GamerCastNetwork.com.